The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday. It's June 5th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, on March 23rd, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf and Secretary of Health Dr. Rachel Levine issued a stay-at-home order for seven counties to mitigate and spread the spread of COVID-19. Among those counties were Bucks, Chester, Delaware, Montgomery, and Philadelphia. Philadelphia had issued its own order a day earlier. Now, a month later, the entire state of Pennsylvania was classified in the red phase of Wolf's reopening plan, which involves strict social distancing, non-life-sustaining businesses and schools remaining closed, and only carry out or delivery options for restaurants. Now, 10 weeks later, after the stay-at-home order was issued for the entire southeastern Pennsylvania region, things are changing. The stay-at-home order was lifted today, but Wolf reminded that the state residents that yellow means caution, and even in the green phase, everyone still needs to take precautions to keep themselves and their communities healthy. On Thursday, Pennsylvania reported 537 more positive cases of COVID-19 and 75 new deaths. Up until Thursday, Philadelphia had not yet confirmed whether it would be moving with the rest of the counties into the yellow phase due to the ongoing demonstrations and protests this week. But Philadelphia Health Commissioner Dr. Thomas Farley did finally confirm yesterday the city did move into the yellow phase as well. There were 121 new coronavirus cases in the city with 70 new deaths reported on Thursday. So what does the yellow phase look like? Well, it looks a little bit different in Philadelphia than other counties. So the yellow phase allows for gatherings of no more than 25 people, but Farley does not recommend that for Philadelphia. He says the city is not advising social gatherings outside of the house at all. Under the yellow phase, restaurants can open outdoor dining on Friday, June 5th, but not in Philadelphia. City restaurants will have to wait another week. Outdoor dining can resume for businesses inside the city limits with existing outdoor seating beginning on Friday, June 12th. So that's next Friday. Guidance for outdoor dining in Philadelphia will be released. As we move into the yellow phase, our focus will be to keep this curve flat so we can continue to operate, continue to move forward, get folks back to work, and get our kids back into school this fall, Valerie Arcouche, chair of the Montgomery County Board of Commissioners, said Wednesday. In-person retail is now available in the yellow phase, though curbside and delivery are still preferred. Restaurants and bars may open outdoor dining in addition to continuing delivery and carryout options in counties except Philadelphia. So childcare and summer camps may reopen, complying with guidance. Schools will remain closed, but will be allowed to reopen for in-person instruction after July 1st, providing the schools adhere to guidance from the Pennsylvania Department of Health and the Centers for Disease Control. Limit in-person instruction can resume at post-secondary and adult education institutions. Additionally, clinical training and field experience for all individuals preparing for a license or certification are also permitted. The institutions must follow guidance by the Department of Health and the CDC. Those who are working remotely should continue to do so. Many businesses were hoping the yellow phase would allow them to completely reopen, but that is not the case. Under the governor's guidance, telework must continue where feasible in the yellow phase. Restrictions at long-term care settings and correctional facilities will remain in place, meaning they still cannot have visitors. There is still no indoor dining at any restaurants in the counties or in Philadelphia. Indoor recreation, health and wellness facilities, and personal care services such as gyms, spas, barbershops, hair salons, nail salons, and other entities that provide massage therapy, as well as entertainment venues like casinos and theaters, remain closed. And they're saying that because you can't adhere to the six feet of distance between two people. While the southeastern Pennsylvania region moves to yellow Friday, the coronavirus pandemic is still going on, and officials are saying that masks, social distancing, and hand washing are still part of the yellow phase, and to please keep that in mind and remember to do all of that. Now, separate from the coronavirus and moving into the yellow phase, there may have been a shark attack in Delaware.
Yay!
All right. 12-year-old boy in Delaware is recovering from what's believed to be a shark attack. Officials said the child suffered puncture wounds to one of his legs after surfing off of Herring Point just before 1 o'clock on Thursday. He was taken by ambulance to the BB Hospital in Lewis. While initially reported as a shark bite, the appearance of the bite mark is being reviewed by state and fishery experts to determine determine if it was from a shark or a potential other creature, the department, Delaware Department of National Resources and Environmental Control said. Beaches at the Cape Henlopen State Park are closed to surfing and swimming until further notice. The Natural Resource Police Park Rangers and lifeguards are warning other beachgoers in the area to stay in shallow water. Shark attacks are rare. The only known shark bite at the Delaware State Beach Park occurred in June of 2014. So
that's the only known one ever?
In Delaware, okay. Yes.
Yeah, the rest were dragged away under the surface.
Right, yeah. Well, there were no bites, per se. They were consumed.
All right, well, what else on the Jersey and Delaware beaches will attack you like that? Like, I heard, like, bluefish will bite you and stuff like that.
Bluefish are actually very aggressive.
Okay.
You can a forensic fishologist or whatever right. should be able to determine the bite pattern or the bite mark of a shark.
Right.
But there's sometimes there are...
A seal will bite you, right?
This goddamn seal.
I think that they can be get pretty aggressive. I don't know what their teeth look like.
But they call a bite from a seal like a kiss from a rose, I think they call it, right?
I don't think so.
Thank you, Nick.
I got it, too. I just think it was very funny.
The singer, seal.
Oh, yeah.
We're going for it.
I love how you do that when you don't like my jokes. But everybody else's jokes, you give them a little. All right, let's move on. But no sad bro.
It
but do
is
we have
fine.
A do we have barracuda on the Jersey Shores or anything like that?
Yes, we do.
We do.
Great.
Oh, okay. I mean, I just thought those were warmer water.
I think if the water temperature skips up, you'll find barracuda off the Jersey Shore. Unless I'm completely inaccurate.
I know that
sea elephants are quite common.
Barracuda, I've seen a number of times snorkeling and scuba diving, and they're
at the Adventure Aquarium.
They are intimidating looking fish, man.
One of the maybe the second or third dive my wife was on, because they have sort of like a hovering look to them sometimes.
Yeah, they just kind of staring at you.
Yeah,
they kind of stay still, but when they move fast, man. But they are, but their mouth is open and they've got really long, sharp. Pointy teeth.
What you're hearing now tips you off to their presence.
Yeah, so we do have that advantage as human beings that when we hear this, we know that there is a barracuda. Here we go. It's the barracuda is found in tropical and subtropical oceans.
I thought we'd find them out here too as well.
No, I think they're warm water fish, but they're really cool, man.
Yeah.
So they're not saying yet exactly, or definitely if it was a shark bite, but they are investigating it, and the child is recovering.
Well, that's
all right. Let's do sports this morning.
Ball sacks are in.
The NBA Board of Governors voted to approve a 22-team format to restart the season in Orlando. The vote was 29-1, with the Portland Trail Blazers voting against the proposal. The National Basketball Players Association has been working closely with league officials on the plan, and the NBPA's team player representatives have a conference call scheduled for later today to approve the proposal. This would mean that the Sixers will start training camp in Camden on June 30th, and then will return with games starting on or close to July 31st, with 8 regular season games and then the playoffs. All teams will play all games in Orlando. The NFL has informed teams that coaching staffs will be permitted to return to team facilities, and the maximum number of personnel allowed in those facilities will be increased to 100 beginning today. As has been emphasized in previous advice on reopening facilities, this may occur only if your club has otherwise received necessary permission from state and local governments to reopen this facility, they said in a memo that was sent to teams. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell informed the league earlier this week that teams must hold training camps at their main practice facilities because of the virus. Players are not expected to return to their team facilities until training camp. An NBA superstar, Kevin Durant, is now part owner of the Philadelphia Union. Durant reportedly purchased a minority stake in Philly pro soccer team earlier this week, worth somewhere between 1% and 5%. It's unclear whether Durant purchased the stake himself or through his umbrella company, 35 Ventures. Durant was seen meeting with union ownership this past December. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. I'm going to start this Friday morning with an apology. Casey, I'm sorry for not laughing at your seal joke.
It's all right. No, you don't have to laugh.
It's
so
sad, bro. That's beautiful. So sad, bro. Yeah, you said I'd normally give a little So I'll give a little next time.
You're fun. It's not that. We'll talk about this off air. It's no sad, bro.
You're not alone in your news. Casey is wearing wearing his No Sad Bro shirt. I've seen a number of texts come in of people who got them, and they're wearing them today.
Yes. Mine came, and I said, I forgot to put it on this morning.
Yes.
It looks great.
No Sad Bro. You got the rest of the
You're
day.
Right. You're right. I'll put it on
after
the show.
You can wear it later on. So I'm happy to hear that that the shirts are coming in. So.
Yeah, I hung it so I wouldn't forget it. I put it exactly where I'm
so
like,
did
okay,
I.
Yeah.
And I forgot
well,
it.
Well, it's like all the signs that we have like posted around the office here, right? Like maybe you look at them one time, but after a while, they're just like this art that kind of hangs out in the background.
I mean, I literally put it, you know, right by the door, so I knew to grab it. That's what a moron I am.
Yep. Well, we welcome all morons because I'm sure we all forgot something today, and we're in this thing together, as you've heard many, many times before. I want to go ahead and give an award to someone. Yesterday, we chose yet another high school for the coolest teacher of the year contest. By the way, I have a question. Is this, are we doing
one
it?
More week?
We have one more week of doing it.
It ends next Friday.
I'm happy to hear about that. All right, so we are going to announce the winner from the school that was chosen yesterday, which was St. Augustine Prep. And we have received your votes and tallied them up, and now we have the name. The coolest teacher of the year at St. Augustine Prep is Mr. Brendan Towell. Oh. That's right. Mr. Towell is a theology teacher, and he's also the rugby coach at St. Augustine Prep. So we'll find out more about him hopefully later on. We will hear as he calls in, so let him know. That he did indeed win, and he's a graduate of Monsignor Bonner. He went to Bonner Case. I know
that's good for him.
Yeah, right. I know you hate Bonner, or you're supposed to.
You're supposed to. Yeah, you know, you kind of get over that stuff after you graduate, but I still hate him with all my being.
I gotcha. And we'll talk to him later on this morning. That means we get to choose another school. And Kathy, I will, this time, since you're on FaceTime this morning, I will hold it up, and I will choose for you, and you can reveal the school, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, let me reach in. Let me grab one. I have it, and Ms. Romano is going to reveal. Oh, yeah, here we go. All right, let me hold this up to, can you see that?
Yes.
And that is in, there you go.
Okay, right, we are now going to Great Valley High School.
Hey!
In Malvern, Pennsylvania.
All right, Malvern, Great Valley High School. It is your turn to let us know. And you get the weekend. You get some extra time. You really get to toss this around a tad bit and make sure that your vote is exactly who you want to be.
You guys know who went there? It was Adam McKay.
No way.
Yeah, Adam McKay is a graduate from Great Valley High School. My mom used to teach in that school district. Adam's probably a little more high profile. But, and Steve Swimer was principal there for a long, long time. And Steve Swimer's a great guy. All of his family listened to our show. So that's a cool school district. That's awesome.
Maybe Steve Swimer will win. Who knows? Yeah. So we're going to leave it up leave it up to the students. Text the word teacher to 39333. And we'll send you this link, and then you can add the information, and then we will find out who the coolest teacher is on Monday, so you have until then. So please let us know. Hey, time to celebrate. Today is National Donut Day.
Yeah!
That's a good thing, and of course, you know, we have a very close relationship with our friends at Dunkin', and they've given us some stuff to give away this morning, so we are going to do that.
We run on Dunkin'.
Through the course of the show, but we do want to remind you that they have free donut. You can get a free donut with any beverage purchase today, and you can use the Dunkin' app. And Steve, you're talking about that yesterday. If you want,
super quick,
contactless way to order and pay as well, and you can pick it up at any store or get it at the drive-through. So we'll tell you when to call in and get free donuts this morning. Pretty sweet deal. But stop by; you can grab a free donut at Dunkin' today with any beverage purchase. National Donut Day. Imagine if we would have met Pancake on this day.
I know.
His name would now be Donut.
Donut.
But it's Pancake instead because we met him on National Pancake Day, or he brought us pancakes on National Pancake Day. All right, we have some entertainment news to get to and some stuff to give away, so we're going to take a quick break, and no, we're not. Should I go to this guy right
now?
Oh, my God.
Let's do it.
Our coolest teacher's already on the line. Talk about early. We normally don't have the coolest teacher calling in right away, but we're more than happy to bring him on the line and congratulate. It's Mr. Brendan Towell from St. Augustine Prep. Hey, Mr. Towell, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks to you. Congratulations, first of all.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
No problem. How long have you been teaching at St. Augustine Prep?
I have been at the prep for 10 years as a teacher, 8 as a coach.
Okay.
But this is my 10th year, yeah. So this was really something. I've been a long time listener. I'm up this early anyway. I mean, you know, COVID or no COVID, a lot of us as teachers are up this early. So when I heard that come on, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Yesterday, I had all these messages. I get messages from these kids yesterday. They're sending me emails. I go, I voted for you. I'm going, I'm not running for anything.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, yeah. they're, I'm like, what are they talking about? Because I had missed that segment the day before. So this morning, I was like, I got to make sure I have it on. So I'm here with a couple things. I'm working on a summer course. So I'm having some breakfast. And I said, you got to be kidding me.
So, what a great way to wrap up the week, right?
No, it's awesome. And, I'm a Bonner guy. I love you, Casey. Sorry.
All right. Well, what parish are you from? Maybe this will lessen this thing.
I'm from St. Alice.
All right, I can take that. I can take St. Alice.
He can work with that.
I can work with that.
Great news, Brendan. He can work with that.
But, Brendan, I got a question for you. Because,
I'll sleep easy.
St. Augie's, or the prep, as we call it, is kind of far away. So where do you live, actually, now?
Get ready for this. Because I love Delco so much, I actually said, screw it. I'm going to live here and commute to St. Augustine Prep every day. So I actually live in Clifton.
Oh, my. I mean, Clifton is as Delco as it gets, pretty much.
His cred has been firmly reestablished.
Yes, it has. Yes,
well,
it has.
Everyone was complaining about these bombs that were going off, and I'm going, that's just Clifton fireworks on a Tuesday night.
Hey, how long is your commute, then? You have to hit the road pretty damn early, I would imagine.
Yeah, 65 minutes. So I'm out the door at 6 with you guys.
Okay.
Well, we appreciate you listening to us.
Yeah. Nah, long time since probably, Y100 days. I guess.
Hey, Brendan, by the way, you mentioned 10 years teacher, 8 years as coach. You teach rugby, and do you get a lot of students that want to play rugby?
Yeah, so we have a fall and a spring season. So we've got fall 7, and we probably about have 45 guys on the team in the fall. We're off in the winter, and then spring is the primary traditional 15-on-15. And we average about 50 to 55 guys on the team.
Wow.
Yeah, did you guys have
in the spring, yeah.
Did you have a trip canceled this past spring? Were you guys supposed to go to, like, Spain or something like that?
We actually did go to Ireland, and we just made it.
Oh, wow.
We were over there, and, of course, you know, the kids are all gone, and I'm staying up in the bar having a beer. And then all of a sudden, the President of the United States says, oh, by the way, we're going to close the borders with the United States and Europe, but not the United Kingdom. And I'm going, well, Ireland is not mainland Europe, nor is it in the United Kingdom. So I don't know what we're doing. So I it took me till the next morning to figure out we were okay. Right. We could finish the tour. We got home safe. But the season was canceled, and we're actually three-time state champions the last 3 years in a row.
Wow.
So this was a blow to the seniors in a big way, who were looking, you know, to have a chance, really. So if I can say to the class of 2020, my guys, and to everybody, all the seniors all over, you know, we wish you guys all the best. We're still going to get a chance to celebrate you. We've got a graduation date set for July 9th. So we were given the green light in Jersey to do that. We're going to do that. We're going to celebrate you guys the best we can, because you were an awesome class. And for all the seniors everywhere, keep your heads up. You're going to have a great time as freshmen, believe me.
It's very cool, very inspiring.
You can see why this guy is the coolest teacher, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Sounds like you went to O'Hara, but...
what? Now, listen, guys, I'm also a bass player. I had a little cover band back in the day.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if it would be totally out of line for the coolest teacher maybe to make a song request for later in the show.
Why not? It depends on what you want to hear, but what is it?
Well, I figured I would stick with a Philly-based band we haven't heard from in a while. They didn't quite make it too big, but if you have time for Silvertide later in the day,
Silvertide.
I would love that.
Wow, okay.
We'll play I Ain't Coming Home. Request.
Yeah, all right, that's a great
I'll throw
song.
That in there.
Yeah. All right, for you, Brendan, we'll do it, all right, man?
I appreciate that, guys. Thanks so much.
You bet. Congratulations. Have a great weekend. Our coolest teacher, Brendan Towell, who is from St. Augustine Preparatory School, and he gets the Preston and Steve coolest teacher of their coffee mug.
Is that the quickest we ever had a call in after
I think
an
so.
Announced
so
win?
We've had back-to-back groundbreaking days. Earliest call and a principal yesterday, our first principal.
Yeah.
So we're on a good run here.
We're changing the world.
Now we have Great Valley in Malvern that gets to vote, and maybe your favorite teacher will be calling us, and we'll have a conversation like that. So text the word teacher to 39333. We're going to break now. We'll come back in a moment, and then we'll get to the entertainment report and the stupid question and more. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So we're going to give away for the stupid question of Fandango Now promotional code to see The High Note. And while I'm not really a big art guy, when I do go to art galleries, some of my favorite things to look at are the Impressionist works.
I like the cafeteria.
You do? Yeah. No, I'm blown away by the little dots that they make into.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. Amazing. So my question is about Renoir, one of the great Impressionists. In the 1860s, Renoir and a fellow French Impressionist worked together, each painting a series of outdoor land and waterscapes. Name the other painter. This is a tough one. 215-263-WMMR. In the 1860s, Renoir and a fellow French Impressionist worked together, each painting a series of outdoor land and waterscapes. Name the other painter. 215-263-WMMR. We'll look for your answer in a moment. While you're calling in, I'll go through some birthdays. Friday, June 5th. It's Mark Wahlberg's birthday today. Mark is 49 years old. The baby in that family, Wahlberg family.
Is he really?
I think so, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. Well,
there may be a younger one in there.
I'm trying to think of the cast of Wahlbergers and who might be younger, but I still think Marky Mark, as he was first known, is the youngest. What a great guest. What a great guy every time we've had him in.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's what you want. He gives you great, just great answers to questions. He's always really
thoughtful,
complimentary.
When we were doing the run up to the Super Bowl, Preston, and we had him, because we said he's basically an honorary Eagle. He's an adopted son of the city, even though he has the Boston ties, obviously. Yeah. And he came out and wished us luck in the whole thing. It was cool.
He found a way to you don't care.
Thread the needle.
Yeah. So 49th birthday today for Mark Wahlberg. Whoever would have seen that coming, by the way.
No, and he is so weird, so unbelievably talented. I dismissed him thousands of times in the Marky Mark era. Yeah. But, man, the guy knows his fly honeys.
Okay, did he have more than one hit? Was it Good Vibrations and that was it?
That was the biggest one.
I thought he had another one.
I want to say he did too, Kathy, but, you know, that was a time of Vanilla Ice and Marky Mark, and it all kind of blends together for me.
Well, I don't want to say. We might have something coming up later on the show that speaks to that era.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. So, anyhow, we can look that up and see if he had any other hits, but Mark Wahlberg is 49 today. Jeff Garlin, who's awesome, the Goldbergs.
So good. He is perfect for that role.
Curb Your Enthusiasm and so on. He turns 58 years old today. He's somebody I'd like to talk to.
Absolutely. We might have talked to him a couple times.
I'd like to talk to him again then.
Yeah, but in person we could transfer the COVID-19. Yeah. No, I would say if you watch the show The Goldbergs with any regularity, whenever they show the footage of the actual dad of Adam Goldberg's dad at the end, he's far more acrimonious than his real dad was, and which makes it even funnier that the performance is actually underselling it.
Actor Ron Livingston, you know him from Office Space and Sex and the City, and I think it was in Dinner for Schmucks.
He's also the dad of the Nemesis family in Vacation with Ed Helms.
Oh, my God. It's been a while since I've seen it. So, he's great, though. He's 53 today. We also have Pete Wentz of Fallout Boy. And he is the bassist, ex-husband of Ashley Simpson.
It feels like he has 50 birthdays a year.
Maybe
other members of Fallout Boy.
Gerard Way, who's in Fallout Boy, right?
No, he's in My Chemical Romance.
See, I get the bands mixed up.
Ah, hell.
And who's in them? Ah, hell, what do you want me to do?
Patrick Stump is the other guy.
Patrick Stump, the old Stumper.
Stumparoo.
The stump man.
Stumpy.
Is not celebrating his birthday today.
S period tump.
Pete Wentz is. Pete is 41. But it's also Peanut's birthday of 311. Aaron Wills is his first name, or his full name, his real name. But he goes by Peanut, of course. Celebrates his 46th birthday today.
There'll always be one Mr. Peanut for me.
Yeah. Yes, Mike.
Yeah, Mike,
who's on the man from the Cardboard Classic. But what name do you like better, nickname wise? Because when I see it's Peanut's birthday, I always think of Noodles from The Offspring. And when it's Noodles' birthday, I always think of Peanut from 311.
I had a beloved cat named Peanut, so Peanut for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I kind of like Noodles, but they're both great nicknames. So anyhow,
Peanut and Noodles is pretty good though.
Peanut what?
Peanut with noodles, like a nice like Chinese food dish.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Or like a Thai. Yeah. Exactly. He's 46
or
today.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
Nico McBrain, the drummer of Iron Maiden, celebrates his 68th birthday today.
I'm guessing that's an adopted name, correct?
I don't know. Nico McBrain, or I don't know.
Okay.
I've always pronounced it McBrain because it's spelled that way, and I'm assuming. But I was like, Nico, man. And I never have seen Maiden live. That's one that I need to add to the list at some point in my life.
Were you a big fan?
I was a casual fan. I had friends that were hardcore fans. And what's funny is, listen to this, okay? At the time, this was the most hardcore music that was out there.
I know.
Like, you just couldn't believe how heavy this was.
Yeah,
it sounds like nothing in comparison at all to what you hear as being heavy music now.
I remember in school the natural assumption that whatever kid was listening to this was a devil worshiper.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they flirted with all that imagery, and they aren't. And they have, you know, Number of the Beast. That song actually scared me when I was a kid.
This was his phone number.
So Nico is 68 today. Now, a guy who should work with Nico sometime celebrates birthday as well. It's Kenny G's birthday.
Oh, my God. I'm sure they've collaborated on many projects.
The jazz saxophone player, the very light jazz saxophone player.
Wasn't he the saxophone player hired by Kanye?
Yeah.
For the
for Kim's birthday.
Right. He stood him in one of their super white rooms.
That's right.
With like 200 vases with roses in them on the floor, and she walked in.
And he was playing.
I'm swooning.
I think Kenny G's awesome.
I do too.
I've seen him interviewed many times, and he's a good guy, and he's actually a super, super talented musician.
I've been a huge sax player, and whatever the what is he playing? Is
it's it a now? Soprano sax.
I've always been a huge fan of going back to like John Coltrane and Tom Scott, and there's a great sound. Hard instrument to play.
Happy birthday to Kenny G, who is 64 years old. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. And it is as follows. In the 1860s, Renoir and fellow French impressionist were together, each painting a series of outdoor land and waterscapes named the other painter. 215-263-WMMR, the number. And our first caller in is Mel. So let's go to Mel. Hey, Mel.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. All right, Mel, who was the other painter with Renoir?
Monet
is correct. Hang on, Mel. We are going to give you a Fandango Now promotional card to see The High Notes, starring Tracy Ellis Ross, Dakota Johnson, and Ice Cube, which is available on demand now. And thank you to those who have corrected me. I had been saying Dakota Fanning all week. It was Dakota Johnson.
You bastard.
I'm evil. I read what's written. It's horrible. All right. So celebrities like Tiffany Haddish, Kevin Hart, Tyrese, T.I., Ludacris, and more attended George Floyd's memorial service yesterday at North Central University in Minneapolis. In addition, Martin Luther King III, Jesse Jackson, Reverend Al Sharpton also attended the services. There were lots of people there, lots of names. Sharpton had delivered the eulogy, telling the crowd, I want us to not sit here and act like we had a funeral on the schedule. George Floyd should not be among the deceased. He did not die of common health conditions. He died of common American criminal justice malfunction. I'm not sure who all got to get up and speak. And I know that there are a few other memorials that are planned.
I think two more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Floyd Mayweather was the one who was paying.
He was
for
footing
all
the
this,
bill for
so,
it. Yeah, yeah.
So those memorials and services will continue, and I'm certain that celebrities and local notables or national notables will be a part of that. Speaking of George Floyd and his family, Kanye West is helping his family and also Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor in a big way following their deaths as well. Kanye has created a 529 college savings plan to fully cover tuition for Floyd's six-year-old daughter, Gianna. In addition, he's donated $2 million in total contributions to support the families and the legal defenses of Arbery and Taylor as well. West representatives say that he's also donated to several black-owned businesses in crisis in his hometown of Chicago and nationwide. Because I haven't really seen him say too much or anything, but he is going to be donating directly to the family.
Oh, we're talking out. Millions.
Yeah, which is a wonderful thing for him to do. Meghan Markle knew that she had to address the death of George Floyd when she addressed graduating students at her alma mater in Los Angeles. The commencement speech came as a surprise to the virtual attendees, which must have been pretty wild for them. A spokesperson said she had planned to share a heartfelt congratulations to the class of 2020. I've worked so hard over the past 4 years by sharing some words of support, encouragement, and offer some memories of her own time at the school. However, in the video message she shared, she felt compelled to directly address and speak to these young women about what's happening in this country right now.
It's an all-girls school?
I guess so, around the killing of George Floyd, as well as what's been happening over many, many, many generations, years and generations, to countless other black Americans. In her six-minute address, she discussed her feelings about the unrest that is rocking the country and memories of the 1992 L.A. race riots that she lived through as a child. So she grew up in that era and in that town. So that was pretty cool of her to address, and of course she didn't leave that out. Let's see. Amber Riley is speaking out about former Glee co-star Lea Michele. On Thursday, Riley spoke and she was discussing racism and the ongoing Black Lives Matter protests, making a brief comment on her former castmates, calling out Michelle because Samantha Marie Ware had said some things about Lea Michele for her past behavior. But Riley said during the chat that she doesn't think that Michelle is racist, but she hopes the actress has grown. She said, "I'm not going to say that Lea Michele is racist. That's not what I'm saying." Riley played Mercedes Jones on the musical series, by the way. She said that was the assumption because of what's going on right now in the world, and it happened toward a black person. I'm not going to say that she's racist. She's also pregnant, and I think that everybody needs to chill. She said, but at the same time, in my inbox, there's a lot of black actors and actresses telling me their stories and were letting me know that they have dealt with the same things, being on set, being terrorized by the white girls that are the leads of the show. But apparently she wasn't shying away from the fact that she's you know, in so many words, she's got an attitude and
she's
been rude.
The people who are coming forward yesterday and on Wednesday concerning her, there was her bitchiness apparently crosses all genders, all races.
Right.
I mean, stories coming the way she apparently, again, this is from other people, but when you start to see a tremendous amount of evidence, it starts to make a case. And said, Preston, you said you've heard forever that she was nuclear diva-ish.
That was kind of the rumor that was going on.
So
yeah,
there was a guy who was who's not African American, but an understudy on one of his one of her shows, and just said she was just dehumanizing. So I don't know.
Stating that this will be the first and last time she speaks on the subject, Riley said she wishes Michelle well, and that Michelle reached out to her and they spoke for the first time in years. She said, "I wish Lea Michele well, and I hope that she has an amazing pregnancy, and I hope that she has grown."
Do you think she could reverse all this if she were to post something on Instagram like, "I love you this much"?
Maybe, with the W.
Yeah.
Maybe. Billionaire or not, Kylie Jenner makes bank less than a week after Forbes revoked Jenner's self-made billionaire status. They crowned her and her brother-in-law Kanye West the top-earning celebs of 2020.
Oh, my God.
So they had a great year. Forbes acknowledged the controversy, saying that selling 51% of her stake in her makeup brand Coty for $600 million brought in the big bucks. While this is according to Forbes, while she had exaggerated over the years about the size of her business, the money she pulled in from the deal was real. enough to rank her as one of the biggest celebrity cash outs of all time.
So I wonder if they're buddy buddies again now.
Kanye, who has also argued with Forbes about not naming him a billionaire, was named second highest paid celeb with $170 million in earnings, primarily due to his fashion line Yeezy. Rounding out the top 10 highest paid celebrities are Roger Federer, who had $106.3 million.
Isn't he supposed to be a bastard? Who's supposed to be the...
No, Sampras.
Sampras. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Sorry, Roger Federer.
Cristiano Ronaldo. Then you have Lionel Messi, Tyler Perry, Neymar.
He's a soccer player as well.
Soccer player, okay.
I thought Tyler Perry would be higher up on that list.
Howard is still in the top 10. He made $90 million.
God almighty.
Did he really?
Uh-huh. LeBron James and then Dwayne Johnson rounding out the top 10. So that's, according to Forbes, the highest paid celebrities of the past year. Joseph Maldonado Passage, also known as Joe Exotic, is sending his love from behind bars.
That's wonderful.
Yesterday, the podcast called Josh Belcher Uncharted.
I just want everybody to know what I'm thinking about
you. shared a new letter sent reportedly from the former zookeeper at the end of the. At the end of the open letter, Maldonado Passage reaches out to his husband Dylan Passage.
I don't like his real name.
Saying he misses and loves him. Well, you're going to hate it because I'm going to have to repeat it a lot.
Damn it.
He said, "Keep my story alive and be my voice." That's what Maldonado Passage wrote to fans. Now, in the latest episode, the host of this podcast read the letter that said, "Keep asking for that presidential pardon. And please, if you see Dylan online, tell him that his husband misses and loves him dearly, and I'm coming home somehow.
I'm coming home and end my time."
Now, in April, Dylan told people that he intends to stand by Joe Exotic. He said, "I'm not going anywhere," at the time. He said, Joe was there for me in my darkest moments. I'm not going to just abandon him when he needs support more than anything.
To anybody, it's apparent this is the real deal.
He added that he loves Maldonado Passage 100% and that he's still good to me, even from in jail.
Mm.
Dylan also told people that in April that his husband wrote a memoir while incarcerated, which he said will show a different side of the Joe Exotic image. The book, said Passage, covers his troubled childhood.
"I'm reading a book about Renoir and Monet working together."
He said it's a really heartbreaking story, and a lot of people are going to see a different side of Joe because of this. He said, "I cried. Aww. I cried and cried and cried and cried. It was so tragic because it's nothing he ever spoke to me about in person. It's very personal. Joe, I love you." And it's definitely a story that nobody thought would have happened. It's absolutely tragic, and Joe really gets his story out there and lets people know what happened to him.
I'm sorry. It's almost Mount Everest-like to get over. I have a story that's going to blow your more than the original Tiger King.
Yeah, right.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, and I just, you know, with him saying how much he loves him and everything, I go back to the show where one of his husbands dies in an accident, and at the funeral,
yeah,
he's talking to him about whipping his, he's talking to the family, the mom sitting right up front, about him taking his balls out and rubbing them on you, you know, and stuff like that. And I was like, this is at the funeral.
I'm so glad my mom is here today so I can tell you how I used to love to lick my taint.
Oh my God, it's unbelievable. So
and then they talk to the husband's mother, and she's like, I don't know why that needed to be brought up then.
Yep. All right. So this one I bring up because of me. Mm-hmm. My gal Amy Grant is recovering after undergoing open heart surgery. What happened there?
That was the short version of the song.
Yes. She had open heart surgery.
What?
Her rep gave an update on Wednesday after the 59-year-old Christian music singer had surgery to correct partial anomalous pulmonary venous return, or PAPVR, a rare heart condition that she's had since birth.
They say that what happened is that a microbe got into her body through her bare feet.
No.
Yeah. Amy is out of the surgery, and the doctor said that it could not have gone better.
Good.
The rep said we would ask for continued prayers of these of the days, weeks, and months to come as she makes a full recovery.
I like her.
Grant's rep also posted an update on Instagram. She learned that she had PAPVR after having a heart checkup in February. She shared the news back then on Twitter during Heart Health Awareness Month, saying the first good news is that I'm completely asymptomatic. The second good news is it's fixable. So instead of concerts and camping trips this summer, I'm going to take care of my heart.
Don't you hate when you're watching? Yeah. This happens all the time. My wife and I will be watching Jeopardy or something, or a show where there's viewers who tend to be older that are getting you know, a lot of medications. And they'll say, you know, if you're suffering from ALN-BDQ, it's like, well, what is that? What is the disease? Because, you know, they'll just reel it on out there and you'll. Yeah, once they've mentioned it, I'm kind of curious to find out what it is.
Yeah, but if they know what it is, then they know.
Alicia Silverstone revealed that she's filling her time while under a coronavirus lockdown with her son, Bear Blue, who's 9 years old, by taking baths together with him to spend quality time.
Okay. Mm. How old is he?
He's 9.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah, I don't know if they're naked in the bath
I
or
would
not.
Assume that they were, right?
Still.
I don't know. So... Speaking in a recent interview about how she's passing the time as a mom, the Clueless star discussed the strange way they're bonding while they're both stuck at home. She said, my son and I take baths together.
I did see a headline that said inappropriate parenting, and it had her picture. I'm assuming this is what they're talking about.
Well, yeah, and remember, of course, the story of her feeding her kids like a bird. Yeah.
Right.
Out of the mouth. No, she doesn't feed them birds.
No.
Okay. She like showed up and spitting in their mouth. But, like, I was talking to my mom about this last night after we got out of the shower, and she said that this is just weird.
You're toweling off her back?
I was toweling her off.
Yeah.
It's tough for her to dry off, like, the middle of her back where the spine is.
You're a good son.
I am.
Went on to reveal that she also takes baths alone when Bear isn't around. She says she finds the whole practice nourishing.
That's what you're supposed to do, bathe alone.
It's not the only way that Silverstone is finding ways to connect with her kid. In addition to sharing bath time, the star notes that their mutual vegan diet helps them stay connected as well. Silverstone, who has previously voiced anti-vaccination sentiments, found herself in hot water in 2018 when she claimed to Page Six that Bear has, quote, never had to take medicine due to his vegan diet. But they bond that way, she says.
Maybe he's never had to take medicine, but he's in therapy around the clock. Mm-hmm.
2 days before Lin-Manuel Miranda's documentary, We Are Freestyle Love Supreme, was set to air, he pulled the plug. The documentary follows the story of the rise of Miranda's hip-hop improv group. And he said in a statement, today our country, our world struggles to reach an end to this systemic racial injustice, intolerance, police brutality, and hate. And we add our voices to the fight. So Freestyle Love Supreme was supposed to come out. But they're going to move that. When is Hamilton supposed
July
to?
1st, maybe?
Okay.
They moved it way up, right? Didn't they move it way up? It was going to be a lot later in the year or even next year or something like that?
I don't know. But I saw him for the first time recently. Steve and I were talking about this in the Mary Poppins Returns movie. He's awesome.
He's really good. I thought the movie was really good.
I loved it.
I don't know why. Again, we talked about the bizarre marketing of that movie when it was coming out. We were going to do something at the Camp Out for Hunger that was sort of, you know, and reference the old Mary Poppins. And I said, no. We want these to be thought of as separate entities. Yeah, we get it. But, you know, obviously you're kind of playing off the fact that people generally love that movie. And this movie has so many nods to the original movie.
It's a lot like the original movie. The songs are great. Their performances, he and Emily Blunt, I really dug it. But that's my first. I knew what a talented guy he is, and I've seen little clips of Hamilton, but I've never seen the show, so I'm excited to check this out. So it's going to hit Disney Plus July 3rd, Nick. That's the latest we've read. So
when's that? By the way, and a completely different tact here, a different angle. That X-Men movie that was supposed to be released to theaters, it's being released on streaming services.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, do we know when that's going to happen?
No. Haven't heard anything about that as of yet.
What that already got pushed back, too, Steve. I think that was supposed to come out last year, and then it's the New Mutants or whatever.
Right, and it's sort of a horror movie as well, and it was actually completed 2 years ago.
Right.
All right, a couple other quick things. HBO's Chernobyl leads the 2020 BAFTA TV nominations with nods in 14 categories.
It was an amazing series.
Following that lead is The Crown with 7 nominations and 6 for both Fleabag and Girl/Haji. Chernobyl's nominations.
All right.
Well, no, it's the words are strung together. It says Chernobyl snominations.
Tonight's snominations are all sensational performers. But as Elton has said, it's just enough to be snominated.
Did he say snominated?
Yes.
I believe he said snominated.
It is a sub-award. It is the way you feel rather than an actual public acknowledgement.
That's what it says here. It says Chernobyl.
It was so wonderful to learn I had been snominated and to get an award.
It says Chernobyl snominations.
Well, the radiation is affecting their time.
I know. Right? Included one for leading actor for Jared Harris, one for supporting actor for Stellan Skarsgård, with 11 on the TV craft side, including original music, production design, writer.
I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Writer, drama, and special visual and graphic effects. The Crown's nominations included Best Drama Series, supporting actor Josh O'Connor, and supporting actress Helena Bonham Carter. And Fleabag saw both Phoebe Waller-Bridge and, is it Cian Clifford, C-I-A-N, or is that Sean?
I do not know.
Nominated for Best Female Performance in a Comedy Series. And the BAFTAs are set for July 17th, by the way. All right, there's a movie opening, and I only have one, okay. So we'll get to that. All right, there's a movie called Becky that's opening up, and it stars Lulu Wilson, Joel McHale, and Kevin James. It's rated R. It's action, adventure, mystery, and suspense film. It's 94 minutes long, and it is directed by Carey Murnion and Jonathan Millett. It may be snominated. We never know down the road. But what it's about, spunky and rebellious Becky is brought to a weekend getaway at a lake house by her father, Jeff, in an effort to try to reconnect. The trip immediately takes a turn for the worse when a group of convicts on the run led by the merciless Dominic, that's Kevin James, so he's going to play an evil character.
Yeah. He looks way different in this.
Suddenly invade the lake house, yeah. It's got a 58% at Rotten Tomatoes so far.
I'm definitely going to check it out because it looks like it also has sort of a very dark sense of humor to it.
Okay. All right, so that movie.
Not that it's a full comedy, but there's humor in it.
Opens, in fact, I guess it'll
today.
Be streaming online today?
Yep.
Okay. All right, there you go. Now we're ready for the clips. The final season of 13 Reasons Why is officially here, and in this clip star, Alicia Beau, talks about how the show has impacted society positively since its inception.
I think it really did spark a huge conversation that really wasn't talked about before. And I think over the last 4 years, I've seen so many more TV shows and forms of entertainment that's like catered towards young adult or any age bracket, but really, really tackles mental health. And I'm very proud that we were part of that movement for sure.
I don't give a f-
I had accidentally soft hit the Velociraptor, if you heard that underneath that. So that was going to be the sound drop, but I went with I don't give an F.
Thank you for the update,
sir. I had to explain that to you.
The fourth season of 13 Reasons Why is available to watch on Netflix today. Here's the next clip. In Shirley, a well-known horror author and her husband take in a young couple, sparking a new idea for her next novel. And here Elizabeth Moss discusses playing the real-life Shirley Jackson. Here we go.
There are definitely things, especially with Stanley and Shirley's relationship, that I think we got pretty right. They were really in love and respected each other and admired each other. That to us was important to capture as opposed to just doing an impersonation of somebody.
Shirley can be streamed on Hulu right now. And there you go.
There we go.
Entertainment Report.
Nice.
Today's National Donut Day. Let's give away some donut stuff.
Right.
Our friends at Dunkin' have given us $50 gift cards. I'll take caller number 11
at 215-263-WMMR. You get a $50 Dunkin' gift card. We're going to be spreading them throughout the show this morning. And don't forget, since it is National Donut Day, our friends at Dunkin' are giving away a free donut with any beverage purchase. You can use the Dunkin' app for contactless way to order and pay. You can pick up in the store or get it at the drive-thru. Participations may vary. Limited time offer while supplies last. Preston and Steve show, of course, runs on Dunkin'. So come and get it. Caller number 11 going to set you up. We'll take a break. Be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
And by the way, Kathy, with my air check that I'm going to be playing later on.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out there in the hopes that we'll hear your ever first live traffic report on NBC 10.
I guess I could. I don't know. I told you guys this. Like, somebody over at NBC was like, I wouldn't release this. I wouldn't put that out there. And so that's why I didn't. Well, for a long time, I couldn't find the tape. I believe that I have the VHS tape. But I don't obviously have a VHS player here to look at it. And I think I tried one of them at the station before, and it was the wrong one. But I've found another tape that I think is it.
Then we will. We'll,
what the hell's the difference? Who cares, right?
Yeah, totally. It's not like you're still looking for a job.
Right. You're going to be okay.
Right. Yeah, no, so I'll look for that. Hey, Press, real quick, before you move on, can I just mention something for our friend Beth, old intern Beth?
Yes, absolutely.
So her husband is, I believe that he's part of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 654. But the Electricians Union is holding a food drive this Saturday, and it's at their union hall, which is 3729 Chichester Avenue in Booth Wynn. So it's this Saturday, June 6th, from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. They're asking people to come out and donate non-perishable food items. So if you're in the area or you'd like to donate, they're doing that this Saturday. And Nick has everything up on the website. So if you need the address again, all of that on PrestonandSteve.com.
Okay.
They're good folks.
I'm also going to mention this. Yesterday, my friend Jeff Surratt, who is the executive director of the local PGA Professional Golfers Association, he was really good friends with the pro at Philmont Country Club, Justin Regal, who was killed by the tree falling on him.
Unbelievable.
And I knew Justin as well, and he was a huge fan of the Preston and Steve Show. And Justin was, you know, he's big, he was really loved in the golf community. And I saw the footage of the overhead shot. It was right next to, there was a putting green right behind the main building there. Yep. There's a big tree next to it, and that fell. It fell into the building. He was inside.
Oh, man.
He was inside when it happened. I mean, just an absolute freak accident and horrible. His wife, they had a baby on the way. It's terrible. So there is a GoFundMe page set up for the wife and the family. So Marissa, and Marissa's not in the other room right now.
We'll send it to Nick.
I'm going to make sure that gets up on our page and that you can access that, because it's just a terrible story. And if you missed it was from the storm that came through day before yesterday.
And the story is even more horrifying, as if it wasn't sad enough. So I read about him this morning. So his father died when he entered his freshman year of college. So the father was in his 40s when he died.
And his brother died, too.
His 23-year-old brother died in a car crash. It was his only brother. So now the mother is left alone. She's leaning on her sister and her 93-year-old mother to get through this.
And I tell you Kathy,
and then obviously you had mentioned the wife giving birth in a few weeks.
I saw the mother on the news, and I don't know how she was holding it together. She was, you know, must
so
be a
sad.
Very strong woman after all she's been through. So, but we'll make sure we post that up, and if you can help, that would be great, because it's just a tragic, tragic story. All right. Beside that, Steve sent me an article, which is pretty cool, from a website that I've never been on before, Steve, Board Panda.
Yeah.
And I just started to peruse it, and it looks like my kind of website.
It is
like
good.
Fun, random stuff.
And Preston, this specifically is one of those things where you're like, oh, don't let's be clickbait crap. And then you click on it, and it's like, yeah, I recognize this stuff.
So the title of this article is 90s Life Hacks That Are Totally Useless Now.
Oh, okay.
And Board Panda went down a nostalgic trip on some things that used to be a wonderful shortcut or great little tips, ideas, just to make your life easier.
I remembered so many of these, and how if only there was a way, in case when you hear some of them, you're going to go,
I can't wait.
So we'll just roll these in no particular order. One of them is, if you want to download a song on your computer, start downloading before you go to bed, and it should be about 99% by the time you wake up
in
the morning.
No, really?
I remember not only that, but when the idea of porn, and not even moving porn, just pictures of naked women.
One photograph.
You would
one photograph.
You would have to sit there and wait and let it render forever just to get one picture. And you remember...
The Hun.
You remember Monkey Boy?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember Monkey Boy had a strict... He worked with us at Y100. He had a strict rule. You can't look at the screen until it's fully done downloading. Oh. You can't watch as just a little bit comes up. He's like, no. Turn it the other way.
Yeah.
And then check back in like 15 minutes.
I stood in direct defiance of that, because if you got halfway or at least a third of the way down the page.
Yeah.
And the woman had like a sideshow beard.
Yeah. You didn't know if you were wasting your time or not.
This is wasted time. I need to move on. Mm-hmm. We're a third into this, and it's not panning out.
Yep. So now it's a little faster than that. So
I almost forget what it used to be like back in the day.
You know, when you ding ding, you put on the 28K modem. Or, what are you doing in there? Nothing.
You'd go do something and then come back, and then you'd be online.
Yeah. I'm just getting caught up on a show called 6 Feet Under that came out around 2000, 2001. And it is so wild to see these people interacting with their flip phones and stuff like that.
Going back a little further, if you go to the movie Almost Famous, which was on yesterday, I was watching it, where they talk about the piece of technology that allows one page, it can send electronically. Information at one page per, like, every 30 minutes
or
something like that.
It's a facsimile machine.
Yeah. But if you think of it, at the time, your only other option was to mail something. So that was lightning fast.
It was. We were amazed. And everything is like that as you start to move along. I think now we've been so bombarded with technology that's so quick, and the upgrades are so quick that it's less awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
But the first time you got online, the first time you pulled up a static porn picture, it's like, you know, the world has changed.
Oh, yes. It had moved.
Yeah. Does Neil Armstrong know about this?
Mm-hmm. All right, here's another one, a 90s hack that just doesn't have any bearing now. If your mouse is lagging, take out the ball and clean it. It's probably just dusty.
I did this all the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you live in a dusty house or whatever. Did you guys remember doing that, unscrewing the bottom of the mouse?
Oh, yeah.
It had a track ball.
Yep.
And so it would start to, or you'd be moving along and the cursor would generally jump across the page.
There's still one down in the Ben production studio.
Is there?
That you have to clean out. Yes. And it has most of Gloria's dog hair in it.
Oh my God.
Well, maybe
rack
this is.
That rack, still. Rack, rack, rack ball.
Clean that rack ball.
I have never owned a desktop computer. So
always laptops. Huh?
Always laptops. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
But even in the beginning, like, what did you do in college?
I didn't have a computer.
Were there laptops then?
No, I never owned one.
The inspiring split story of a boy without a computer.
Ooh. Like, you just went to the computer lab, right?
Yeah. Went to the computer lab. They were open 24 hours a day.
Okay. Yep.
That's a bingo. All right. So let's move on to some other ones.
All right.
Some other hacks that just don't make sense anymore. Use sites like MapQuest to print directions for where you're heading.
Yep.
Never get lost again. So you'd have to print up the directions and follow them along.
So I clearly remember this point. Obviously, I'm older, so I remember a lot of times for me it involved a pirate map.
There was an X somewhere.
I was looking for directions. But the MapQuest thing, I was reticent for the longest time because I just got so good at the Rand McNally maps. And you'd get these books. Anyone who traveled with any regularity across distances had these map books. And then I got on board the MapQuest thing, and I'm like, okay.
I still will use MapQuest.
Really?
As, not to get directions, but if we are going to plan a driving trip that's a couple of states away, I will just to get a vague idea of the driving time, how far away something is. You know, I might type in, the starting destination, ending destination, Philadelphia to Pittsburgh, just to throw a city out there. And then it'll give you an average driving time. Now, I can do that on Waze as well, which would be pretty simple. But if I happen to be on my laptop, rather than pull out my phone and, you know, if I'm making plans, I
didn't even know MapQuest still existed as a site.
Yeah, absolutely.
It seems to me like that's a after the 90s thing, MapQuest. I would think that that's like 2000s or even 2010s, because I remember using that much more frequently.
Don't know.
Well, I was going to ask if I was fancy, because we would go to AAA.
And they would print out.
Yeah, AAA would send you, or you remember they would send you a trip kit. Do you remember that?
The trip kit. Yeah, yeah. You would go and they would highlight it on the map and they would print it out step-by-step instructions.
But still the idea, Nick, of actually printing the directions up because you couldn't take your computer in your car with you.
Yeah.
And I remember doing that for the Phish concerts that we used to go to in Maine.
Nick. Yeah.
And thank God when I went, Waze and all this stuff didn't exist because we were able to, like, you know, everybody else was taking whatever route MapQuest took them, and then we would take these little back side roads.
Right,
and
right.
We were able to avert 10 miles of standstill traffic.
MapQuest was launched in 1996, Nick.
Yeah, all right. Okay. So I definitely used that this millennium.
All right, here's another 90s hack that just doesn't make sense anymore. Never shut down your computer unless you see it's now safe to turn off your computer on your computer screen.
Oh, because you would lose everything.
Yeah, anything that you had open still, you could lose unsaved data.
Honestly, and Kathy, how many times did you go, oh no.
Oh no.
Or close out of an app before saving.
Mm-hmm. I remember, I just mentioned the computer lab to Casey. I remember I did. I lost an entire project. It was a long paper that I had written, and it was like in the middle of the night, Case. I was there, yep. You know, working on it. I was almost finished. I'm pretty sure I was in like spell check. Like I was in the end stages of it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The computer shut down, and I did cry, but I almost lost it. And there was, you know, an IT lab that you could stop in.
Baby.
The guy. No, he came in, he retrieved my document, turned the computer back on, retrieved my document, except in between each word were a few characters that didn't belong there. So I had to go through the entire document and erase them.
Kath, I actually had a vivid memory yesterday of being in the computer lab and losing pages and pages of a document because I didn't save it.
Yeah.
Right? So you're supposed to save, like, every paragraph you would have to save. Did you use WordPerfect back in the day?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
I used WordPerfect. There was a WordStar was another one. And then they came up with the thing. It'll just do an automatic save every minute.
Yeah.
You could set the intervals for your save. Now with cloud technology and so on and so forth. I mean, it's the other end of the spectrum. Yeah. But at that time, it was the amount of F-ups on massive, even in massive businesses, that was a thing that was just such a nightmare. And millions of dollars, I'm sure, were lost over lost documents.
Steve, I remember using Google Docs for the first time, and I was like, so I don't see a save button. Like, what do I do here? And they were like, nothing. You just log out. Just close it. It's saved. And I'm like, but I didn't hit save.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm still
have that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, are you sure?
Yeah, are you promising me? Uh-huh. Here, cut
you
your palm. I'm going to cut my palm. Yeah. Rub our blood together. Uh-huh. Swear.
All right, here's another hack from the 90s that just doesn't wash anymore. If the game, if the video game isn't working, just take it out and blow on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, come on.
There was dust in the cartridge, Preston.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I remember
Nintendo mainly, right?
Nintendo. And I know
getting so angry.
People had different techniques as well. Like I would just blow across it like a harmonica, and then I knew people that would only blow in the corners of it.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And Sega was great because their cartridges were a little bit smaller than the Nintendo cartridges, but you still had to do the same thing. If it wasn't working, you take it out. Put it back.
And you always
in.
Thought this isn't going to work, and it would work.
And a lot of times it would work. Yeah. You're right. I don't know why. Here's another good one. This says when you get a 2-day rental from Blockbuster in the evening, you actually have until the morning of the third day to return it without a late fee.
What's the worst late fee you ever got?
Oh, I can tell you that. So I was a chronic renter. I've always, when the ability to do that existed, I was renting films like crazy. I paid in some cases 3 times what the cost of the movie was in late fees.
We had like
worst is if it's a porn too.
Yeah, we had like a $35 late fee for a movie called The Willies. It was a terrible movie as well.
Yeah.
But man,
I was up like 60, 65, 70 bucks.
No,
oh yeah, yeah.
Friday night was like so special when I was a kid because that was the night that we rented movies for the weekend.
That was us too.
We rented two movies.
And going to the store and making your decision was it was an activity in and of itself. It was kind of fun.
It was absolutely fun. And then you'd have the whatever movie place you're using was a Blockbuster or whatever.
What was the other one?
A West Coast Video.
West Coast. You get up to the register, Kathy, and they'd have these preset buckets with popcorn kernels and Twizzlers and stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, it's movie night.
But and I remember
What sucked is when the movie you wanted was gone.
Well, yeah,
that would suck. Back to the porn.
No, that's what I was going to say, because then you would go up, because if they were they would get returned in the Dropbox, and so you would like wait there for them to line them up on the counter, and sometimes the movie you wanted was up there.
Yep.
And you had to like pay to be a member of the of like West Coast Video, did you not?
Yes, and
like,
Blockbuster.
Okay.
You had to pay?
Yeah. There was
like a fee.
A small fee. Yeah.
Okay. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. You can get whatever you want, whenever you want. All right, how about this? When burning your next ripped Smash Mouth, Nirvana, or Alanis Morissette CD, make sure you close all the programs to avoid buffer underrun. Buffering.
Oh, my God.
It's buffering.
Yeah. It'll be done in an hour and 20 minutes.
I love this one. If you have a quick message for someone and you're near a pay phone but don't have 25 cents,
oh, of course,
call 1-800-COLLECT. And when it asks you to say your name, say the message real fast, like, Mom, practice is over. Come pick me up. So they would say, hello, you have a collect call from Mom, practice is over. Come pick me up.
We would do that all the time.
No kidding.
That was that's how I contacted my parents to pick me up from wherever I was.
What was the great commercial?
We had a baby, it's a boy.
It's Mr. We had a baby, it's a boy. That one was awesome.
But we had a calling card number that we used often, and I used to be able to remember that number because it was, I don't know, it was like a credit card number. It was really, really long.
Who was the provider? Do you remember?
We had MCI. Bell, maybe. Okay. Oh.
MCI. So you would get the card, and you would use that calling card, and you could use it at any point, and, you know, my dad would get the bill eventually.
You know, what's funny is later on, speaking of phones and how far we've come with communication in that regard, later on when I'm playing clips from my earlier broadcasting days, you'll hear me saying phone numbers, just 7-digit phone numbers, no area code.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just because that's all you had to dial. The area code was not necessary.
That still happens in rural areas. I was in upstate PA this past weekend. They were giving out 7-digit phone numbers. They didn't attach the area code to it at all. So if you're in an area that just doesn't have a ton of people, they'll just give you the seven numbers.
Nick, I so reflexively, I type in the one, I type in the state code, I type in the planet identification.
Listen, in some of the audio I'll have later on, if we play it, it's from the earliest days, and my broadcast career began in as rural an area as you could get. Not only did we not give out the area code, we didn't even give out the prefix. We just gave you the last 4 digits.
Oh, my
of the
God.
Number.
Was it everybody had the same prefix?
Everybody had the same prefix. Wow. It was when I lived in Salem, Missouri, this podunk little armpit.
Eddie, this message is for you.
But literally, it would be like, all right, the number's 4586, you know, and that was it.
Oh,
that's
my God.
All you'd give out. And then you'd call Clara on the line say, Clara, can you ring?
Can you ring Ed's house? I just sent a message on the radio and he's not calling in.
Marissa?
All of Delaware doesn't give away their area code.
Yeah, because it's 302.
All 302.
Yep. Is it all the entire state 302?
I was down in Delaware last week and every phone number everywhere. But also another thing with that too, when we have interns here who are trying to call a number and they'll just say it won't work, I tell them dial 1. And they look at me and they're like, why? I'm like, I don't know. You're just supposed to.
Yeah, you know, like at I don't think I have to dial 1 at home because I have the internet. I have my phone going through the internet.
Right.
I don't think I have to dial 1 anymore.
I just do all the time.
Yeah.
And one of the settings in the iPhone just I have it set to automatically put a 1 in front of every number.
Okay. Here's some hacks that that you don't have to do anymore. They're from the 90s. Keep a disposable camera in your glove compartment. Because if you get into a car accident, you can use it to take photos for your insurance purposes.
Mm-hmm. I like that one.
That's a good one. The box camera.
By the way, I told you guys, I recently, and I spent a lot of money to have these developed, I found like 20 old disposable cameras that had been used up or partially used up. I'm like, you know what? There might be some gems in here. I'm going to go get these developed. Took them to CVS. Took like 2 weeks, and it was really expensive, and I got it all back. And there's like 6 salvageable photos that aren't even anything. Apparently, these are cameras we just gave to our kids to go take pictures of whatever they wanted to.
Oh, really?
It was a complete 100% waste of money. The pictures, most of them were just really, you know, like solid red or green,
yeah,
or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
the over time the film had deteriorated.
Look, it's a guy at the grassy knoll with a gun pointed at Kennedy.
Yeah. Right.
If you take something or you want to get a picture printed, it and it's not good quality, like it alerts you. Are you sure you want to print this?
Oh, really?
Yeah, like if you have some photos like on Shutterfly or something like that, yeah. It'll say the quality is not great. And do you still want to print it?
And then if you click yes, it'll go, all right.
Yeah.
That was a big thing back in the 90s at weddings, to put a disposable camera at every table that the patrons could also
all the time, pictures, all the time. Yeah, that was one of the little tchotchkes at everyone's table.
Hang on, there's some phone information here. I'm going to go to Jerry. Hi, Jerry. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, Jerry?
Hey, I'm old. I'm 60. And growing up outside of Newtown in Bucks County, when I was a kid, they used to call it W08, 2928, or Worthington 8.
Yeah, so we were, instead of saying 543, in my neck of the woods, we would say KI3.
Yeah, my Aunt Mary is OL9.
Oh, why? Wow. Because of the letter that corresponds on the phone?
Yeah.
Yep.
But you have three letters that you can choose from that would determine, but you just did it amongst your family or everybody did it?
No, everybody did it. No kidding. So it was like 5-4 to KI3. But to me, I mean, now it makes no sense because 5-4-3 is easier to remember than KI3.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it, man.
You got it.
All right. Have a good one. Hang on a second. Let me go to JC. Hi, JC. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Hey, back in the day, back in like the 90s, mm-hmm. all of my friends had what they called was a dialer, which was just like a little electronic thing that would it would remember numbers, and you put it on the phone and it would dial out. But if you were to like solder a resistor on one wire and like put it back together, it would make the signals the phone makes when you put a quarter in the phone. So you could just keep it in your pocket when you have to make a phone call.
So you can
only work on like Bell telephones.
you could use it on payphones.
You use it on payphones. You put up the payphone and press the button, and it would make the signal of the money going into the phone, and you'd get free calls. All the time.
Yeah, JC. So, what we would do is if you had a paperclip. And there was a little hole right below the zero on the payphone. If you put the paperclip, one end of it in that hole, and the other end of it into the speaking part of the phone.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know why that worked.
It did work. It did work. And then if you pushed hard enough, pudding would come out.
Wow.
The pudding option.
I wish I would have known the pudding trick. Thanks,
he's
JC.
Right. I think that was something that's maintenance people who worked on the phone were aware of, and somehow that information got out.
Do you remember making a long-distance call on a payphone and having to have a huge pocket full of change with you?
Oh, yeah.
I only did it a couple of times. Yeah. But you like it seemed like every 30 seconds they were telling you put more money in the phone. You just hang on a second. Ding, 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 ding. Stick quarters in there. All right. You got three more minutes to go. But it seemed, I remember doing that a couple times, and what a colossal pain in the ass that
things
was.
Things have gotten so much better.
I remember being away on vacation in Montauk, and they had payphones outside of the motel that we stayed at, and we would call back home to, you know, family who was not with us, but it had a phone number on it. So we would use the money, and it was long distance. We were in New York. We would call back to Pennsylvania, and so we would give them the phone number on the payphone, and they were able to call back the payphone. So we didn't have to use all our change.
Hang on. I want to go back to map questing. John's been on hold for a long time. Hey, John, what's up, bud?
Big brown Guatemala nipple.
Getting sucked on by all sorts of pickles. What's up, John?
Hey, when I was in college, one of my buddies was driving up from Philadelphia to just outside of New York City in Hoboken. And this is before the GPS. He didn't have a printer and everything like that. And I had to get on MapQuest or like some other website that was a driving website, and I was his GPS as he's driving up on the phone to try to get him up 95 and then off and through Jersey City and into Hoboken, trying to figure out where he's at on the highway and asking him all sorts of questions just to get him into the actual town that I was in.
So there you are, to turn by turn, you're the voice of the GPS on the phone.
I am the voice
you're now
of the
in
GPS
Hoboken.
On the phone.
Yeah, yep. And did you stay on for a long time with him?
Oh, I was on the phone for about half an hour. I had to plug it back in because my phone was losing charge the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't help because I'm trying to figure out where he's at on 95, and the whole time he had an apple that he was poking out of.
That's funny. All right, thanks, John. Appreciate it. Thanks. Hang on a second. Let me go to this call. Casey says his dad. I got to see if this is true or not. Hey, Casey, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so your dad invented something?
So my father worked for the telephone company back starting in the 50s.
Okay.
Through the 50s and early 60s, to make a long-distance phone call, you had to call the operator and tell them the area code that you wanted to call.
Okay.
So he worked on a project called COES, the computer-operated electronic switching system. Oh. It allowed to use one to access the same system that you used to have to get the live operator to access.
Okay, so your dad was worked on that system to give us the ability to just dial one instead of dialing the operator to make a long distance call.
Yes, my father invented one.
He invented that?
My dad invented one. Wow, that is actually pretty cool.
He must be a billionaire.
No, when you work for a company like that, you just get your paycheck.
Yeah, especially back then.
When they programmed this stuff, they did it on punch cards.
Right.
So they would do like 5,000 lines of code, then run it and fix all the mistakes, then do some more code, put it all together, run it, fix the mistakes. And it took them years.
That's amazing.
I am fascinated by emerging technology like that, the origins of things like that.
The punch codes.
The amount of work and time that had to be, you know, used up in order to create things like that, and the ingenuity of trying and trying and failing and failing and failing.
Yeah.
And eventually figuring out a way to do it. Something as simple as taking for granted, which we don't even do anymore,
right,
now,
right, yeah.
Hitting the number one to make a phone call and bypassing actually calling the operator and having them move the wires around and hook you up. That's pretty cool, Casey. Yeah. Is your dad still with us, or is he passed?
He passed a long time ago, but he actually got his first job with the phone company when he was 24 years old, collecting nickels out of phone booths, and just worked his way up through the company.
Tell me, on his tombstone is the number one.
Number one dad.
That's awesome.
Because it's
Casey,
true. Yeah.
That's a really cool story. Thanks for sharing, man.
Sure. All right.
Nick, you were going to say?
Yeah, so going back to remembering things, when was it? Was it late 80s or late 90s or early 2000s where you had to pay attention to the time where you would use your cell phone to make the phone calls? Because if you could make free phone calls after 9 p.m., but before that, you had to be really aware of the number of minutes you were using.
That was definitely that had to have been in the aughts, because I probably didn't have a cell phone until close to the aughts.
I think I got my first cell phone in 99 or 2000, something like that. But you could call all your friends and anybody you wanted after 9 p.m. without worrying about the minutes at all.
Well, I took a landline and just cut the wires off, and it seemed kind of cool.
Speaking of phones, here's another interesting hack from the 90s that doesn't work anymore. Let's say you live at home with your parents.
Right.
You're waiting for a phone call, you know, at night from your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whoever it may be. You don't want your parents to hear the phone ring.
Right.
Here's a little trick, and I never knew this. Call the movie theater and listen to today's listings until call waiting beeps.
Oh, my God.
And you just go to the other line, and you don't have
That's
to.
That's a great
phone
idea.
Phone never rings in the house. That's a great idea.
Yeah, my neighbor growing up, he was effing up all the time, and he had a phone in his room. And the parents in their bedroom got one of those business-like line phones with the little the buttons on the bottom that would light up.
Different lines, yeah.
Specifically to bust his ass.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember, and this goes pre, I know we're mainly talking about the 90s, but calling time and temperature out of boredom.
Sure.
Yeah. You'd call the bank, or whatever it was.
I want to hear someone.
Yeah. Or there was a standard time and temperature. And as a kid, I would just call
it. All right, we have to move on.
I didn't need to know what time it was. I didn't need to know what the temperature was, but I just felt like calling time and temperature.
You
know,
it was time 1, 2, 3 around here.
Right. Okay.
Do you guys remember how long your phone cord was in the kitchen?
Yes. Super long.
Right. Yeah.
You could stretch out. You could go from the kitchen all the way down the hall to the front door.
Yep. It was pretty awesome.
And it was a princess phone, too.
Let's see here. How about, we'll do a couple more of these. We're going to have to take a break in just a second. Of course, it mentions star 69. If you got a prank call, just call star 69. But I think if you hit star 67 beforehand,
you can do it.
Block your number.
Block
right?
your number. Yeah.
Does star 69 still work?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Well, I don't know why I said yeah, but star 67 still works.
Why did I say yeah?
How about this? Another hack: when leaving your car, hide your radio.
Oh, yeah. That was the big deal. You would unhook your radio sometimes, and then if you were really cool, you had just a faceplate came off.
The face. Once they made just the face that you could take off, that was a game changer because you could stick that in your pocket.
Right.
Otherwise, you had this thing. It was about the size of a purse.
Like in a MacGruber, he has his Blaupunkt with the handle that he pulls out.
Which you'd have to carry around for a little while.
Dude, I remember borrowing my buddy's car in college, and he had a 6-disc changer in the trunk of his car.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I borrowed that, I was like, okay, man, I'm taking Blues Traveler. What else am I going to take?
Alanis Morissette. Alanis Morissette.
I got my Stone Temple Pilots.
Well, I tell you what, let's post this list because there's a lot of them on here. I think there's at least 30 or so hacks from the 90s that are pretty much useless today. But it's a fun little walk down memory lane. So we'll send this article. It's over from Board Panda. To Marissa, but I thought that was some cool stuff.
It is cool, yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break and come back in a moment. A few things going on today. It is National Donut Day.
Yeah!
In a little bit, I'll have a chance for you to win a $50 gift card from Dunkin'. Stay with us. I'm not giving away right now, but if you happen to be going by Dunkin' today, you can get a free donut with a beverage purchase.
We just drank some Dunkachino.
We haven't had Dunkachino in months, and not because of the COVID-19 outbreak. It's because of the Cowper-19 outbreak.
Cowper-19.
And we never got our Dunkin'
Chino. Guaranteed to make you sick.
But they...
There's a higher infective rate with Cowper-19 than... I'll always make you sick.
But they brought us some, thank goodness, some Dunkin' Chino. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get into the Bizarre File. Make sure you stay with us. Oh, and Great Valley High School in Malvern, PA. You guys need to tell us who the coolest teacher of the year has been. Text the word teacher to 39333. You got the weekend for that. We'll be right back.
While we wait and wait for live concerts to return, MMR is raiding the video wing of the MM Archives to present MMR's Dream Stream Concert Series. The best up-close and personal performances and interviews from the Preston and Steve studio.
Great song. It's a Struts on 93.3 WMMR. This could have been
there. Pierre presents from Ardmore Music Hall.
Tell them the name of the song.
Wish I Knew You. If you didn't know.
And Studio 4F.
Joining us in studio, Mr. Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
How you doing?
Updated twice weekly at WMMR.com and streamed directly to the best seat in the house, your couch. MMR's Dream Stream Concert Series. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Got some stories in the form of the Bizarre File for you.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by A.D. Moyer Lumber. All locations remain open to provide your building material and hardware needs and are focused on customer and staff safety. Call or email ahead for curbside pickup or delivery, and you can find them at admoyer.com. A Staunton man is facing charges including attempted poisoning after he allegedly urinated in almond milk at a Stop and Shop last Tuesday.
You know, I don't like almond milk, so a little urine might help it.
Is this Staunton, Virginia?
I'm assuming. I don't really know, Nick.
Well, my brother lives there with his family, and I wonder if he saw this story.
Or if he peed in almond milk.
Yeah. Or that.
Does he also go by Billy J. Smith?
Yes, he does.
Oh, then that's our guy.
Son of a bitch.
Along with the poisoning...
He also pooped in the hummus.
Poisoning charge, Billy J. Smith is being charged with disorderly conduct and vandalizing property. Authorities recovered several containers of almond milk and Bai juice drinks from the store.
It's my thing.
Those were sent off to a lab to check for fingerprints while a container of almond milk was being sent away for urine analysis. The loss prevention worker at the Stop and Shop approached a police officer working a detail there. The employee asked the officer if he could obtain the license plate number of a vehicle operated by a man who had just left the store. The officer was able to do so, and the loss prevention worker returned just as the vehicle drove away. He told the police officer, "Hey, I think he peed in some milk."
Could you be more specific?
He said, when I asked the worker to explain further, he stated to the effect that, quote, the suspect had urinated into a container of almond milk and it was still warm to the touch.
Oh! At least chill your piss.
Now, the worker poured out some of the milk, and the officer said it looked like almond milk. Tastes like it.
No.
The officer noted that he watched the surveillance footage and said the suspect appeared to be holding items near his groin area in a hidden manner and looking around as if to make sure no one was around. The report said he then appeared to place the items carefully back on the shelves toward the back behind other items.
You see, there's piss in this. Huh? Let me see. Yeah, there is.
Smith was arrested the following day. He said that he was at the supermarket the day before and bought oatmeal, but said he didn't urinate in the milk. Smith pleaded not guilty to the charges. By the way, with him, you know, it says here he appeared to be holding items near his groin in a hidden manner. The other day, I needed to put air in my daughter's bike tires.
Yes.
Our pump had broken, so from my neighbor Steve, I borrowed a pump, and he had this. It's a hand pump. It's just...
How do those work?
It's really small.
Yeah.
And you do a motion that goes in and out like this.
Okay.
So I realize I have my back to the street, bent over my daughter's bike.
Yeah.
And I'm pumping this thing like this. And it looked like I was rubbing one out furiously.
Wow.
As people were driving and walking by and riding their bikes. So, yeah.
Preston's really whacking it today.
Yeah, I got that reputation in the neighborhood.
You know, on another planet, he goes by the name Nutsack.
It's true. A porn star has been arrested on manslaughter charges following a man's death during a mystic ritual in which he inhaled psychedelic toad venom, Spanish police said on Wednesday.
What?
Nacho Vidal was detained last week in connection with the death of a man in July of last year. Identified the victim as fashion photographer Jose Luis Abad. The police operation began following the victim's death during the celebration of a mystic ritual based on the inhalation of venom of the Bufo alvarius toad. The toad, a rare species which is a native of the Sonoran Desert, stretching from northern Mexico into California and Arizona, secretes venom containing a very powerful natural psychedelic substance known as 5-MeO-DMT.
So people use it for that hallucinogenic effect, right?
Its effects have been compared to
ayahuasca.
Okay, powerful hallucinogenic concoction from the Amazon consumed as part of a shamanic ritual. Following an 11-month-old inquiry, police arrested Vidal, one of his relatives, and an employee on suspicion of manslaughter and crimes against public health. Investigators said that they had discovered such rituals were being carried out regularly on grounds they offered medicinal benefits. But in reality, they said it's apparently this apparently harmless ancestral ritual posed a serious health risk, luring people who were easily influenced, vulnerable, or who were seeking help for illness or addictions using alternative methods.
You've had stories like this over the years of people like the frog licking and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's what this is doing.
Yeah.
The ceremony took place in the country residence of Vidal, who is a media savvy porn star in his mid 40s, whose Twitter feed is full of ads for his 25-centimeter aromatic candles of the male genitalia, available in black, white, and cerise. So not only can you get the toad stuff, you can get your penis candles. Okay, listen to this. The Niagara Falls, New York. The Niagara County Health Department is searching for two baby raccoons after officials say a Niagara Falls resident was handing them out to people outside a 7-Eleven over the weekend.
What?
The health department
says... They're so far ahead of us up there.
The health department says that a total of 9 baby raccoons were handed out. 7 of them have already been recovered, but officials are searching for the last. Well, you go over by the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, they fell over there. It's got a whole bucket of them.
They said they're looking for the last two over concerns that they could potentially be rabid. Possessing a raccoon
Are they raccoons or are they rabbits?
No, rabid.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Possessing a raccoon is illegal unless you are a licensed rehabilitator. And coming into contact with a raccoon presents a potential rabies hazard to people. They're also looking for a rabid dog in the area, too. So they got all kinds of problems.
Man, Niagara is hopping.
And then one last story. A man living in India recently told local press that he noticed baby snakes inside of his home. He opened up his air conditioning unit and found about 40 of them slithering around inside of it.
40 baby snakes inside the air conditioning unit.
That is correct, yeah.
Do they have an Indian version of Horizon?
I don't know, but they should call him. The man identified only as Sarandanand made the discovery on Monday night. After spotting a snake on the floor of his bedroom, he was able to extract the snakes from the air conditioner and release them into a nearby wooded area.
I would have burned down the house and found another place.
40 snakes, wow. All right, and there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you right now. All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, I'm going to expose myself.
Yes.
I'm going to pull my underwear down and shake it in the breeze.
I'm glad I'm not there.
I have found, I was just doing some stuff in my basement, I stumbled across some old, what we call in the business, air checks, which are you recording yourself as a DJ live on the air. And I also found what was my demo. This is me thinking that this is the best stuff that I had that you send out to program directors to, you know, find a job.
This is what you're sending. You want to reach that point with these demos where you think, this is what I am.
Exactly. Oh, wait till you hear what I was. This is in the height of my.
Are you nervous?
No, I'm not nervous. I listened to it yesterday, and I'm just going, oh, you guys are going to bury me.
God is bless. It like, are you cringing?
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, my God.
Oh, how can you? Sorry. Listen, you take, look at the amount of years that have passed, and the laughably we're considered professional at what we do here. There has been a quantum progression in our abilities. Anything from that time period, if you're not embarrassed by it, I don't know. You're not being honest.
Has anyone heard any of this?
No. Casey heard just a little sliver of it.
Just
yesterday.
A little snippet.
Okay.
It's, you know, the Pierre, hey, everybody, it's good to have you on the Baba. It's like that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we're going
to. Hey, everybody, it's good to have you on the Baba. Tuta Batu Baba Banuga Gababada.
Are you saying that's better than what you have?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and I will reveal myself for your pleasure. I'm doing this for you. We'll come back in a moment. Stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, before I reveal some of this audio from the past, there's an email I want to read. I love this. Okay, so I got this from a listener in Illinois. He lives in Sugar Grove, Illinois. His name is John Burkos, and he said, hey, Preston Gadzook, so funny story for you and the gang. My wife and I run a horse stable just outside of Chicago, and we just had one of the mares give birth to a baby filly. We kind of had a little contest between everyone at the barn to submit a name. And since it was this particular mare's second baby, we were going to have the name start with the letter B, since last year's baby started with the letter A. And so far, the leading name is Bella. I wasn't planning or participating in the name challenge until they asked me to, and I couldn't think of anything. And then I made the mistake of blurting out Bajmir. And everybody's like, oh, well, that's an interesting name.
Oh, no.
What does it mean?
No.
And I refused to explain. I just said, I think I heard it on the radio a while back or something like that. But they're actually considering Bajmir. Why? Because it's unique and different.
Oh,
and he
God.
Says, I should have just gone along with Bella. No, you shouldn't have.
Yes. No.
It's brilliant.
Bajmir is great because it does sound very exotic. There must be, maybe that's a Hindu name or something, Bajmir.
But we all know it's rim job. Backwards. Yes, I'm
rim
sorry.
Job. Rim job.
Bajmir is rim job backwards. That's how we got
rim
that.
Job.
That recording of me saying that.
Rim job.
So please, if you have any influence at all, John, make sure that filly is named Bajmir.
Okay? And is it just a regular horse facility? Are they raising horses for racing?
Yeah, they run a horse stable, so okay. I don't know.
Could you imagine a Triple Crown winner?
Bajmer. It would fit right in with all the other weird names of horses, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Rim job.
Rim job by Lang.
All right, so the other day, I was in my basement. I was looking around for some stuff, and I came across in the unfinished side where we keep all just storage things that we're just keeping. And I came across, by the way, Steve, I came across cases of air checks. And air checks, by the way, is a term that we use in the industry for when you record your show, just portions of it to listen to and critique and maybe use as a demo if you want to get another job or something like that. It's a standard procedure in radio and broadcasting, have an air check. So, and by the way, I have hundreds from the Preston, Marilyn, and Steve days.
Really?
And the early,
oh, that's
and the
awesome.
Early days of the Preston and Steve show. I'll share a picture later on of how many cassettes there are. It's ridiculous. So I don't have a cassette player at home, and I was sifting through this the cassettes that I found, and I did indeed. Just out of curiosity, I started looking around and seeing if I could find some really old ones of myself, and sure enough, I did. In fact, I found my demo, and this had to have been probably, well, the music should be able to tell by what songs were new at that time, and we'll check, because I did a countdown show. It was when I was doing nights at this radio station in Jefferson City, Missouri.
So what we
called Y107, and it was the term is a CHR, contemporary hit radio, top 40 radio, essentially.
Your first on-air gig?
No, second on-air gig.
Second on-air gig.
And so my first on-air gig, I actually have audio of. That is completely different. That was from when I was doing, like, the fishing reports and the high school lunches. And
things
like
that. Salem, right?
That was in Salem, the tiny, itty-bitty little town. I'll play some of that later on.
All right.
But this is Kenny Knight and my most Kenny Knightiest. And this was when I was starting in CHR, and I felt the need to really sell it hard.
And explain what CHR again is for people.
Contemporary Hit Radio, top 40 radio.
And where did the name Kenny Knight come from?
It was
given to you, wasn't it?
Well, kind of, sort of. Yeah. I started doing weekend work, and my boss at the time, Action Jackson, that's the guy that would talk like this. What's up, Kenny?
Yeah. Where'd you get that hat, Kenny?
So it was Bobby Jackson, Bobby Action Jackson.
Oh, my God.
And he's like looking at me and he's like, yeah, I don't like the name Preston. You need to come up with something.
I don't like
else.
Your name.
Yeah. He was that kind of guy, too. Yeah. So I came up with a list of names, and Kenny Knight just fell in there. I don't know where I got it from.
Okay. All right.
Maybe I might have gotten the Kenny from Kenny G. And then there was a jock in St. Louis named Chris Knight that I always liked. And so I think I put those two together. And he's like, all right, we've never had Kenny before. Let's see, you're Kenny Knight. I'm like, okay.
This guy sounds like a prize.
And I didn't care. I just wanted to get on the radio.
Of course.
You can call me whatever. You can call me Nutsack.
Nutsack.
And I'd be on the radio.
Kenny Nutsack with you.
All right. So
music is like the wrinkles in your nuts.
I was listening to this yesterday. You know.
This is your demo we're going to hear?
Jesus. I was a screamer, man. Okay. Should I just play it?
Yes.
Okay. So here we go. This is, you've heard of Kenny Knight, and you've heard my broadcasting. Can you play a clip of me in broadcasting school,
yeah,
Steve?
Yeah, so here's.
This is me before.
Right.
That's
the latest news. Let's get on to the latest rock. This cat really knows how to play guitar.
Right.
Those are the best tasting little morsels I have ever had in my life. I am feeling good, and I hope you are too.
Okay. So you ready?
Yeah.
Yes. This is me once I've gotten a gig. I've been established. I'm the Knight Jock, man.
Yeah, man.
All right. Here we go. Kenny Knight.
Kenny Knight plays the hit. 7 hits in a row on All Hit Y107.
All Hit Y107 with the hits you want to hear. Kenny Knight slamming 7 strong songs in a row.
She doesn't even sound like you.
I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
It's not that bad yet.
No, it's the quality. Listen, he is doing exactly what you would do in that format at that time, but sounds nothing like you.
Let's keep going.
Mind you, to listen for the touchstone this hour. If you're the 7th caller, you could win a pair of tickets to see Warren, Trickster, and Firehouse in concert at the Lake Expo Music Park in Osage Beach.
Osage Beach, that's Lake of the Ozarks where they film Ozark.
Isn't bad. Touchstone to win this hour from Y107.
All Hit Y107. If you want to be pumping it up and living large, it's your next bash.
Living large.
Yeah. Pumping it up when we were living large. Back in the days of New Jack City and everything.
So at that time, would you write down your... Because you have to be very efficient in that format. You have to be...
That's what I was just going to say. This is all live, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're not stuttering. You're not saying, so far, I'm impressed.
Oh, well, I'm not making mistakes. This is my demo. I mean, breaks. I took breaks that were good. I wasn't making mistakes in. But, of course, I was talking like this. I was screaming my head off in every break. All right, here we go.
You better hire your favorite Y107 disc jockey to bring the hits to you. If you'd like more information on that, just call 893-5696 during regular business hours and we'll set you up. Here's a new one from Whitney Houston. My name is not Susan on All Hit Y107.
Find out when My Name Is Not Susan came out.
Whitney Houston, My Name Is Not Susan.
Susan.
Kenny Knight with you.
I'll bet this is 1991, probably.
How long have you been? So
92, maybe.
1 year? 1 year, 2 years in radio? 3 years?
If it was 92, I started, my first day on the radio was January 2nd, 1990.
Huh.
That's when my first official paid day as a disc jockey was.
Were you a part-timer or full-time?
Full-time.
So 1991 is when the single that came out.
So I was a year in.
All right.
Were you popular on that station?
I have no idea.
You don't remember. Okay.
Never want to ask.
Well, I don't. I get it. I understand the whole voice thing and the but like, I don't think it's bad.
No, it's not.
That's what those stations. That's what they want. That's what they sound like.
And Kathy also, as he said, it's a demo. He's putting the best foot forward because you're not gonna include your worst.
It's just pukey, Kathy.
It's very pukey. Yeah.
That's what I meant by.
Yeah, exactly.
All Hit Y107, yeah, baby. Kenny Knight in the PM, and I'm taking your votes for the top 10 tonight. 25 digits for it to dial in. 893-4161 at Jeff City. 442-0.
I'll bet you I hit the post on this. Listen, hitting the post is when you walk right up to the lyrics.
It's critical.
Here we go.
Digits for it to dial in. 893-4161 at Jeff City. 442-0107 Columbia or toll free at 1-800-289-Y107. All Hit
Y. Yes.
Nailed it.
You watch? Did you have the countdown clock in front of you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wait, what were the tickets that you were giving away in that first break?
Warren Trickster and Firehouse.
I don't even know Trickster.
I went to that show.
I know Trickster. Yeah.
I met Janie Lane from Warrant. I met the guys in Firehouse. Trickster, I think, had a song called Give It To Me Good. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I mentioned it several times during this air check. Now, you remember Warrant, right?
Yeah.
Cherry
Pie
and all that stuff. And
they were the headliners.
Rocking and rolling and whatnot.
Yeah, they were the big... And then Firehouse had Love of a Lifetime let's see where else we go.
Hey, 107.
Oh, wait.
Wait a second.
We're bringing it down.
You're breaking it down.
Bringing it down.
It must have been a national tragedy.
No, it's got to be a ballad.
Oh,
most
okay.
likely. Got to bring the energy down.
107. All Hit Y107. Make sure you keep it locked in to the Fresh FM for your chance to play High Low Cash. Because you could win a share of thousands of dollars that we are giving away from Y107.
I'm fascinated. And listen, we were listening to stuff on this show of us just 2015 and how much my voice seemed higher.
Mm-hmm.
All those stations, all those CHR stations, and some still do it, they love that sound in the back. They love that big, ballsy, Spector wall of sound.
Yeah, we had reverb on the mix.
Processing, yeah.
Yep. Just like full on. You could hear yourself, your echo when you're on the mic. It was ridiculous.
Hey, testing, 1, 2, 3. Echo.
From Y107.
All Hit Y107, Missouri's number one hit music station. And a good evening to you, Kenny Knight.
Wait a minute. Here, did you hear how far down I went on station?
Yeah.
All right.
Missouri's number one hit music station. And a good evening to you. Kenny,
are you doing this kind of thing?
I had a little
short. Feels so good music to get you up in the morning, get you on your day.
His number one hit music station. And a good evening to you, Kenny Knight. And the PM want to remind you to be listening for the Touchstone this hour, to be the seventh caller and win a pair of tickets to see Warrant, Trickster, and Firehouse in concert. It's coming up.
That was Whip Appeal from Babyface. I remember that song.
You know, though, to Kathy's point, you are very efficient, hitting all the right things. That's what you would be expected to do.
Oh, yeah.
And you were the overnight?
No, that was nights.
Nights.
I was the flame-throwing night guy at that
Kenny
point.
Kenny Nights.
I worked every... every shift on the clock, and I think I started in overnights, and then I did. We had late nights as well. There was like a 10 to 2 shift.
Do you know I've only done mornings?
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I've worked. Yeah. I've worked every bit of that clock, man. Here we go.
What up? 107, yo. Who is this?
This is Angie Brisk.
Angie, where are you calling from?
Columbia.
Angie, you're gonna go see Warren Trickster in Firehouse. You're calling number 7. And she's religious too. What's your favorite radio station, Angie?
Y107.
Okay, Y107 sending out congrats to Doug Smith.
That's Amy Grant.
Why,
in the background.
Why was she religious too?
I was making a veiled reference that she was like, oh my God, you know, oh my Godding. So I don't know. Nick, I just was looking for things to say.
Stop listening so closely. You're screwing my jive up.
Yeah. Y107 sending out congrats to Doug Smith. The break time in Fulton. Now the money man caught him listening to Y107 at work and paid out big moolah. You could be next.
Moolah.
You do have a little bit of this.
Oh, yeah.
This is going on.
Yeah. Oh, only every now and then.
Right.
Not every time, but I would throw that in there.
Just listen to Y107. Work and win cash. Here's the latest from Amy Grant on Y107.
Missouri's most listened to countdown.
Oh, here we go. Okay, so this is the top 10 at 9. This is the big countdown part of the evening.
It's the big dog came up with this, right? It's a standard.
Yeah, it's a standard thing was to do a list.
End of the day countdown with the biggest hits of the day.
So here's me cranking it up. You got to get everybody hyped up for the countdown.
Missouri's most listened to countdown. The top 10 at 9. KTXY, Jefferson City, Columbia, Lake of the Ozarks. All hits Y107.
Don't you know it? All hit Y107.
So here what I did, I faded up the mic
while
I
was all
excited.
Don't you know it?
Yeah, I'd be like, you bring the fader up and down, it would do an effect like this. So, all right, anyhow, here we go.
Hit Y107.
Don't you know it? All hit Y107 time once again for the top 10 and I rated a pump it up your nighttime hit music slave. You're doing it right with Kenny Knight.
We're doing it right with Kenny Knight. I like that.
You had to rhyme every now and then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I need help. Guest DJs, call me 893-4161 from Jeff City if you're in Columbia. Dial me in 442-0107. You can call toll free at 1-800-289-Y107. I want some hot guest DJs this evening. We got chances for you to win tonight. All kinds of hot hit music, the top 10 most requested songs of the night. Our guest DJ already on the telephone. Yo, baby, what is happening?
Yo, baby.
Yo, baby.
So the demo is, what was the main demo? Younger girls, or what was the main?
Oh yeah, it was female.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That was the target demographic, right. was 18 to 24 year old females.
Okay.
You referenced Columbia a couple times. That's where University of Missouri is, right?
Yeah, Columbia, Missouri. It was like maybe a 40-minute drive from Jeff City. So it was we would cater to the college crowd as
hyper
well.
Hyper focus, so, yeah, that's what you do.
And it was great, man, because I'd go to Columbia all the time. Did not want to stay in Jefferson City.
How is it, if I may ask, because you're on a show that's appealing to that demo, I mean, and you were single at the time, were you taking liberties?
I took advantage. But at this time, I had a girlfriend.
Oh,
but it's important. I'm glad you asked that, because
hey, she smells like burned rubber, baby.
No, what's
remember when you get down to that snatchy old snatch, it smells like NASCAR every night. Gotta tell you, unpleasant in every way you can possibly imagine. This is Belle Biv DeVoe.
We probably would have been playing BBD back then. No, at the time I was dating a girl named Anna. Anna was this awesome gal, Filipino, really fun. She ended up having a radio career, too. In fact, she works in radio in Seattle now.
Really?
But I'm glad you asked about the girlfriend thing, because this first phone caller on the phone that I take here is actually Anna, my girlfriend at the time's roommate, that I had called up and said, hey, I need some, can you do this for me?
Oh,
that
happens a lot.
In Top 40 Radio specifically, you do canned phone calls. You ask people that you know to pretend to react to something, or and then you record
it. This is tearing your world down. This has been a staple since radio was radio.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I'd call her up and say, hey, can you intro this song? And she would record it, and then I would do the phone thing live, and then I'd hit that. We had reel-to-reel machine in the studio, and you would hit play when you, hey, who's this on my phones? Bang, and then you'd hit it. And then the bit would play, so this is it.
Hey, Kenny, we're jamming. This is Mary in Columbia. I got the number 10 song, Love is a Wonderful Thing by Michael Bolton. Jamming on Y107.
We are jamming.
Number 10.
Oh, yeah.
Al here, Y107, jamming to the top 10 at 9 with Kenny Knight on the...
Think of they're jamming in there.
Do you know who you
times.
Sound like?
Who?
Matt Ritter.
Matt Ritter?
Play that. Can you...
Hang on.
You just have that tonal quality.
Al here, Y107, jamming to the top 10 at 9 with Kenny Knight on the Fresh FM.
I know what you're talking about.
So we got somebody on the phone tonight that's feeling kind of psycho. Hey, say hi.
Hello, boy. This is Mother Bates. I was told to call in to be on this show tonight. I'd like to introduce number 4, the Shiny Happy People by R.E.M.
By the way, that was our assistant program director. Oh,
was that an ongoing character, Mother Bates?
That was Steve the Colonel Austin, our assistant program director.
Do it again. Can you
and he used to do this Mrs. Bates
Psycho
from the movie Psycho impression that I thought was really funny. He used
I
to crack
Mrs.
me up.
Bates.
Oh yeah, he used to say it. He used to walk. You know, he would say it, and I would laugh, and so it was kind of our thing. So I probably said, "Hey, dude, why don't we do this? I think this will be really funny."
Four, the Shiny Happy People by R.E.M. on this radio station Y107. Norman, come here, put me by the window, boy.
Number 4. All hit one. Oh, and so that's it for the air check, and then you have me doing production.
All right.
So if you did production, you would add some of this onto your demo as well.
Sure.
So this
sure.
is me doing a promo, and then we'll stop this madness. And I have some other clips I can bring.
Okay.
All hit Y107. Here's another way.
That's Mr. Announcer Preston voice.
To win cash from the Fresh FM. Beginning Monday, listen for your chance to play high-low.
It's easy to win.
Just tell us the exact amount in dollars and cents in the Y107 high-low jackpot, and you win it in cash.
Well, you know, now, by the way, Casey and everybody here in radio, that was me, you know, slicing and dicing, literally taking a razor blade to a reel-to-reel tape.
Yeah.
You take the tape off of the blade. You put it on the editing deck. You cut it with a razor blade. You take it to you had marked it with a what they call a China marker.
Yeah.
And then you find another spot, and then you cut that, and then you take two pieces, take a little piece of tape, and you put it on there, and you tape it together.
And I know it well because
so
all
sound effects, music, all that stuff. You did it too.
And you had to jump from deck to deck to add layers on.
Yep.
And every time you did it, you would add hiss.
Yeah.
And so that's why the processing had to be done in such a way to suppress that hiss.
And if you messed up, you had to start all over again.
No undo.
Nope.
No, stored in the cloud.
Right.
That was it.
You could either slice right down the middle, or you could do, like, slice it on an angle, right? Like basically a back slice or a front slice, right?
Yeah, I always did the slice,
angle.
The angle, yeah, which it would make for a cleaner edit. So that's my production. But as I seasoned and got a little bit less pukey, here's me in St. Louis as Kenny Knight. You want to hear a little bit of this?
So,
I just grabbed some random stuff. I just grabbed the first air check I saw, popped it in, and grabbed a couple. These aren't demo breaks. This is just me.
Less pukey.
A little less pukey.
Yeah.
So I think so. Here we go.
104, the planet's hottest music. Stone Temple Pilots of the Interstate. Love song is 550. You got Ken.
So that's me puking all over Stone Temple Pilots.
That is puke, man.
All over an alternative rock band.
That's right, man.
That's right.
That smells like Teen Spirit. It
South
sure does.
Seattle,
hey, I have a girlfriend that smells like burned rubber. Have I told you about her yet?
Love song is 550. You got Kenny Knight and another 30 minutes continuous cue on the way. A party is beginning. It's forming as we speak, and it's happening at Baja Beach Club. Miss Kim Furlow is on the scene. What's up, girl?
Yeah, it is. It's a party.
It's... Okay. What's up, girl?
And was she, this is at the height, what year are we talking about?
This would have been 95.
Well, we're having a fun time down here. Everyone has seen there's a free drink thing going on, and there's all sorts of nachos and various items if you're hungry.
Now, to give you some perspective, so that's 95. A year later, probably less than, this may have been the summer of 95, a year later, I was working at WDRE. Where I had completely changed my tone.
It was a complete shift.
Yeah.
And who instigated it? Was that Jim McGuinn,
our program director of WDRE.
Right.
He was programming a radio station in St. Louis called The Point. And we knew each other because I was in music programming. I was a music director as well. And so Jim and I got to be acquaintances. We played golf together and stuff like that. I saw him at record industry functions. And so we got to be friends, and then he got the job at DRE. And I guess he heard something in that crap that he thought might fit.
A good PD has that kind of ear, though, right?
And so he said, do me a favor, go into a production studio, tone it down a bit,
and give me what you think you would be on on an alternative rock station. And I did, and he liked it, and my life in Philly began.
Everything dramatically shifted.
Yeah.
Well, that's wild.
Hey, let's have another clip from Kenny Knight. Here we go.
Not as music. It's time to play the dollar bill payoff game.
Oh, I'm bringing it down again.
Well, there's a little bit of this back though now.
Here's a ballad.
Not as music. It's time to play the dollar bill payoff game. If you have a dollar bill that has 104 in order in the serial number, you'd be the 14th caller on the queue lines. I'm going to give you $100 in cash. Good luck to you from Q104.
Is that Mariah Carey?
No, it's Boys Men.
Boys Men. Okay.
Man, these guys are great.
How would you prove that they had a 104 in their cereal?
That would, to redeem their money, they'd have to bring the bill.
It's all about the honor system, buddy.
No, they'd have to bring the bill to the station to redeem that. Hang on, here we go.
Hi, Q104.
Hi.
Hi there.
Oh, wait. So you can hear, I'm playing this off of Reel to Reel, the phone caller, and at the beginning of it, I had not queued it up enough. And you heard her go, well, because the tape has to speed up. Before, if you would start something in mid-sentence, it would be like that. So I didn't queue it up properly, and you can hear that. So listen here.
Hi, Q104.
Hi.
Hi there.
Right. Hey. Rinky.
How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Good. Isn't it beautiful outside?
It's absolutely gorgeous.
So why are we working?
Because we have to pay bills.
Yes, that's true.
Too much month at the end of the money, you know what I'm saying?
Too much month at the end of the money. I'm telling you,
it's crazy. Working hard or hardly working, as they say, right? Working hard or hardly working.
It's crazy.
The way it goes.
Who am I talking to?
This is Peggy.
Peggy? Well, first I have to let you know that you are my 14th caller.
Ooh.
And I need to find out if you have a dollar bill with 104 in order in the serial number.
God. I have nine of them.
You sound a little bit like intern Ben.
As you can imagine.
As you can imagine.
Is this the way you're talking?
The banter?
The Kenny banter, yes.
I was a puker.
Yes.
What can I tell
you? Even when you were talking.
Hey, is this Q104 you said?
Yeah.
So my first job with Bill Weston.
Was that a station called Q104? Yeah, here it is.
Serial number.
I have nine of them. Oh,
well, do me a favor. Peggy, pick one and read the number for me, please.
It's A51047280F.
Yeah!
Peggy.
All right. I've got $100 in cash for you.
There's people in the studio with
they
you.
They would hang around and wait for somebody to win.
Cool.
And then they'd get really excited.
Wait, hold on. Back up a minute. Steve, you worked with Bill Weston before?
Yeah, well, actually, Bill.
I didn't know that.
Actually, it was technically Bill was a PD who replaced this is a station in New York, in Manhattan, Q104. It's a really rigid classic rock station. So Bill had come to be the PD. A new company had bought out that station, and I had been doing the morning show there with a woman named Donna, who's amazing. And they asked me to come back and try out with this morning show that they had replaced us with that wasn't working. And that's the first time I met Bill. And so I wouldn't say worked, but that was the first time I encountered Bill Weston. Yeah.
That was my favorite break so far, just because of the banter and the back and forth and you kind of flirting with the listener a little bit. I enjoyed that.
Oh, I have more.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Great. Now we can take off for the rest of the day.
Yes, we can.
I'll give you half of it.
Oh, are you married?
I am, unfortunately. Wow. Sorry.
A woman that throws money at my feet is exactly what I'm looking for. Well, that's okay. I can dream, Peggy. We have $100 in cash for you. Go out and spend it on yourself, okay?
Thank you.
No problem. Tell everybody what station in the city sets you up with cash.
Q104.
Hey, this might sound like a personal question, but what are your private smell? I've had some bad experiences in the past, and I'm just checking, girlfriend.
It was around this time I would have been smelling burnt rubber, by the way. I believe so. All right, we have a couple more breaks, and then I have a bonus in here, okay?
Oh, boy. All right.
That is not radio-related. Here we go.
Today's Best Music, Q104, straight at 4 o'clock. It's Kenny Knight. Congratulations, Peggy Lang of Wentzville. Set her up with $100 in cash. Q104 dollar bill payoff. We've got more dollar bill payoffs to go, so keep it right here.
Q104, St. Louis.
I do miss jingles. Jingles were fun. Because what you would do, you would play, you'd hear this music bed. Listen.
Kenny Knight, congratulations, Peggy.
You hear the music underneath. And then when you were done with whatever you're saying, you could punctuate it by hitting the jingle. And it
would hang of Wentzville. Set her up with $100 in cash. Q104 dollar bill payoff. We've got more dollar bill payoffs to go, so keep it right here.
Q104, St. Louis.
That's a good imagine.
It was a big deal if you got a jingle, too, that sang your name. It was pretty cool. I did have one. Yeah.
Preston, I've always admired the guys, and you're doing a great job. I mean, this is you know, I can see where you were getting work, but the people who do it and do it surgically, you know, or just effortlessly, it's a talent.
I used to, nail in the post was kind of my thing. I could do it. I didn't really think about it. I would just make it happen.
Nail in the post like I nailed your girlfriend.
Before it was Q104, we're looking at it in the studio, a promotional picture of me. It was Q106.5. We switched frequencies at some point. I liked saying Q106.5 better than Q104 because 6.5, you could really hit hard.
Yeah.
Right before you'd hit a post, 106.5. And see, like there, I threw the emphasis on the 6. Q106.5.
Now put the emphasis on the point.
6.5. You know,
could you have done Q104, no, 0.65?
I could have. But I chose.
Q104, no, 0.65.
All right, here's my final cue break. Here we go.
Today's best music, Q104, with tonight's hottest party, Wednesday night, ladies' night, and confetti. Yours truly hanging with you tonight, the new place. It rages, my friend. 9 to midnight, Pete.
Rages.
Well.
Rages.
Is it the first time? Rages?
I would use rage regularly.
Wait a second. Rages. Remember that.
Yeah.
Yours truly hanging with you tonight, the new place. It rages, my friend. 9 to midnight, Paige and Shoes. Make sure you join me. I got my new Kenny 90s I'm going to give it away, too.
Kenny 90s.
The Kenny 90s.
That's a great promotional idea.
It was a nightshirt. And it had me, it was my face on a, like a crescent moon. With a starry sky. Rochelle might have a Kenny 90 somewhere. Yeah, she might have one somewhere.
Did you, do you intro the hoodie there, or you just into the hoodie?
Let me see.
Quest Hoodie and Blowfish from Crash Review. It's Only Want to Be With You on Q104. You and me.
Nailed it.
God, you're good at the post. You are good.
Nailed it.
And I remember, and the nightclub I mentioned in there, Confetti, I remember that place, total meat market.
Yeah.
And it had been, it had been named like three other, it had gone through different, it was a Brio at one point, and it was Confetti, and it was Senior Frogs.
Then it was a double deuce, right?
It was kind of like the double deuce of your time, but, Jesus.
Yeah.
I used to do those late night till close appearances all the time.
Well, you're obviously good at this, you know, at this aspect. I'm sure you're happy to be free of that kind of delivery.
Now, before we're doing my radio history here, Kenny Knight, my very first job was in the middle of nowhere at a station called KSMO, Salem, Missouri. That's what SMO stood for, Salem, Missouri. It was AM 1340, I think, or 1380. I can't remember. 100%.
One step above a walkie-talkie, but it's probably super powerful, right?
Well, I think it was a 1,000-watt AM station. Okay. It was tiny. And the town was, I mean, as rural as you could get. I just wanted to work.
Yeah.
And it was the right decision because I landed here eventually, so I made the right choice along the way. But at this radio station, I did everything from school lunches to the ag reports, the agriculture reports.
Do you have any recordings of you doing the school lunch?
Fishing reports, the funeral announcements.
Wow.
No, I don't have that, Steve, but I do have a show that we did called Open Market.
Oh.
Open Market is what would be known as a swap shop.
Or Tradio or any of those. Yeah, they're all standards.
People call in, they got something to sell, and or they're looking to buy something, and you facilitate that. Now, the funny part about this is this sounds more like me now than it does when I went into Kenny Knight.
All right, interesting.
What's your name in this?
Preston.
Okay.
Yeah, I was using my real name at that time.
I don't like that name.
And we need to tease that something else, something a little more snappy.
How about Preston Knight?
And what's funny, and as we were talking earlier, we did a segment on antiquated hacks, and we were talking about old phone numbers and things like that. You will hear us using just the last four digits of the phone number because the town was so small.
Right.
Not only did you not need to use the area code, you didn't even need to use the prefix.
Did you recognize callers?
Yeah. Hey, Lou, is this you? Yeah.
Oh, I could tell you their names. There was Ruby, was a regular one. There was she was an old lady who would call up. She was great. There was Hazel. There was also a guy named Al who would call in all the time. Now, I don't think I have it. I just grabbed the beginning of this tape.
Right.
But I'm sure I had the whole hour of this show somewhere.
All right.
But I grabbed like 3 minutes. I'll play a little bit of it for you because the audio is terrible, terrible, terrible. But just to give you an idea, here we go.
Thank you very much.
Prices on those, please.
We got it. Okay, thank you.
That's me.
It's $10 to $15 on the quilt tops, $2 a bale for the hay.
Hey, you're selling hay.
Selling hay.
Who's demanding that you give the prices? What jerk is that?
And this is my partner in crime was a guy named Les.
Prices.
Les was a super nice guy. His actual real name was Les Dunn.
Les
Dunn.
And
I used to say, coming up next, more music and Les Dunn. but Les is a super nice guy, and we stay in touch on every several years.
But hay prices, that was his thing.
Hay prices? Yeah. No, not his.
The air mattress. The air mattress was $20. 20 or 25. But, yeah, folks, we need prices with it. Make sure you remember to do that. We know some people have a hard time remembering, but hey, make an exception.
We'll have to remind them then. On the caller number 7 there had the quilt tops, $10 to $15 on those.
Les's job was to repeat everything I said.
Right, yeah.
You're just a leech.
Yeah. Said we moved more like a bed more than an actual on the water. And they want $20 for that. 6865 if you're interested. And
so he said 6865. That's it.
Wow.
That's the phone number.
Les, I'm the star. Remember that. I'm the star.
And the friend has bales of hay at $2 a bale. 2396-729.
Les, goddammit, I just said that. I just said that.
You're ruining it.
No, that was his job.
You're ruining it, man. You're bringing me down. You're dead weight.
He's like
trying to sell this goddamn air mattress.
All right, here's me giving information on a yard sale.
Number 7.
Yard sale Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. I guess that would be going on today. Yes, it's Wednesday. At 708 North Oak, little of everything all this week, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. That'll be Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. So take your pick. And just stop on by. For sale,
I don't know.
You sound, Preston, I'm interested in those paper plates. How much are they going for again?
You sound
paper plates.
You sound at the same time defeated and amused. You're all right. This is my job.
I know.
If this is something you want to go out to, by all means. Or you can just sit at home and hang yourself.
Hey, make no bones about it. I was excited to be where I was.
Sure.
I was on the radio. That was my goal, and I actually was really excited to be there. So, hang on.
A full frost-free refrigerator, clean and in perfect working order. $165. Call 729-4023. Kay Hutchins has that. Take a look at the area radar forecast this afternoon. Mostly
area radar forecast.
What was the area radar?
I just ripped it off of the, the AP wire that came across.
Sunny, warmer with a high in the low to mid 60s. Sounds good to me. Tonight, increasing cloudiness. Low in the mid 40s. Oh, thank you. And Thursday, partly cloudy.
Oh, my boss came in and handed me my paycheck. I say something about that.
A 30% chance of showers, high in the mid 60s. Currently 55. I just got my paycheck. What is this?
Thank you, sir.
What is this?
It's a paycheck. What's it look like?
Okay, I'll take it.
He's like, God damn it.
We will take a phone call, though. Good afternoon.
Here's a caller.
Yes, I have a cook stove for sale. It's a town and country. It's like new. I'll take $100 or best offer.
I'll take $100 best offer for
it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I called earlier about the paper plates.
7594.
Right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
7594. That's all you needed. 4 digits.
Yeah, I have a slightly distressed toothbrush for sale.
And caller number 8 has a cook stove that says it's a town and country type. I want $100 or best offer on that. And you can call 729-7594-7594.
Yeah, I have a salt shaker.
Box for Stave Mill, $15 for pickup load in Salem.
Okay, all right. Anyhow, so that's what I used to do.
That's a standard. I don't do the. Is there a lot of? I don't think there's
I don't think there's any of them left.
With the internet,
you don't need to do that.
You don't. You just hop on and do or any countless amount of apps that provide the same service.
To be honest, I'm glad I did every one of those things, and I'll tell you why. Because here I am, a noob who's never been on the radio before,
right.
And instead of like it is. Nowadays, radio-wise, where you pop on, you do your 15 seconds, and you get off. I was doing long form talk stuff to start with.
Yeah.
And it was good training for what we do now. But now you have podcasting and stuff like that, and you can learn at home on a microphone how to have a lengthy conversation. It takes a long time to figure out how to do it.
Now you're reading emails from people selling paper plates.
Right, exactly. All right. So that's where it began.
That was pretty interesting, I have to say.
You wanted to be opening for Sammy Hagar as in the Image, right?
Well, and while I was digging around these tapes, I found an old cassette of The Image, my old band.
Wow.
In a club.
What a treasure trove of stuff you found.
In a club playing somewhere. And I'll play just a little bit for you. The audio's terrible. You know, right. Like that last piece of audio. But I used to have this Panasonic boombox. That's how I'd record it. I'd set it up where our mixing board was, and I'd put the cassette in, and I'd hit record and play. I'd hit two buttons in order to record.
Of course.
I'd hit record and play, and I would roll. So, and before we play, I decided to state the date at the beginning of this, so I have me actually speaking before we play, and you get to hear a little bit of Danny. Whoop, Danny.
Would you give the date to the audience before every concert?
No.
Okay.
So anyhow, and I don't even give the year, so I don't know what year this was, but this is a little bit of The Image. Here we go.
Those drum fills at Swigson quite quiet. Anyway, what's the date today? Anybody know?
Yeah.
24th of March. We're here at Impresario's 1 in San Jose.
My voice is roached.
Dan's voice is roached.
Sounds great.
I'm going to try and play this first song, Middleman. Crank up the Beethoven. I'm going to try and play this song, but...
So I must have been hammered.
You're sounding like that. You're sounding at like this level.
That's the latest news.
Yes.
Let's get on to the latest.
It was around
rock.
Then. Yeah. It was probably around then. And we were probably pretty lit. It was probably like the third set. And that's why I'm saying I'm going to try and play this song. And then you hear the Beethoven.
The guy.
Yeah. That's what we would play before we'd start our set.
Oh, okay.
You know, on the PA.
It was your thing.
So I have a little bit of Middleman, which
let's
is
hear.
An awesome song from Living Color. So let's hear a little bit of Eric. I don't know, maybe, you know, a couple hundred people, something like that. There weren't a couple hundred people there. It could fit a couple hundred people. There's probably 20 people there.
Okay. What's that place? Oh, last night, 500 capacity.
Right, exactly. Dan was a really good singer. This doesn't...
Was he attractive?
No.
Okay.
He wasn't ugly, but he wasn't...
That was his thing.
We were all kind of average looking, except for Gary. We're looking at a picture. Gary on the far right was our good looking
guy. With the hat on?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
we're not
the guy next to him, Greg, he got laid like crazy in the band. But hang on a second. Song you guys might recognize, so and I'll play a little bit more, then we'll wrap it up. So this is, I think we're playing a Poison song here.
You got to go up one.
Oh,
those at the top there, right at the top of the list of the music, of the hits, of the sounds, of the guy, of the goo.
All right, here we go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You guys are pretty tight.
We gigged a lot. We played 2-3 times a week. It was we were pretty steady.
Do you have any originals?
One or two.
Okay.
We did. It wasn't something that we were any good at. It's hard, man. Original music is difficult. It's for those who can do it. are really talented, especially if you write songs that connect. It's amazing how talented some people are in music writing, which is a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah, so. You may not even know their actual bands or their musical careers, but their songwriting is obviously key.
All right, well, Preston, I wanted to let you know that when we come out of the next break, we have a little surprise for you. We're going to let you intro the next song.
Shut up.
Coming out of the stop set.
No, we're not going to.
Yep.
Is it Hootie? Yes.
No. It's a surprise for everybody.
Ah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in about 5 minutes. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Don't you know, baby? Call us on the phone. We'll come back in a moment. Stay with us. Oh, you know what? Let me give this away today. Hey, it's National Donut Day.
National Donut Day, man. That's a little piece of cake with a hole in it. You're going to love it.
That's right. I have a $50 Dunkin' gift card. Caller number.
Is that the game of ring toss that you can eat?
Caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to give that to you. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
What's new? Glad you asked. Pearl Jam. Rival Sons.
We move through the world like shooting stars across the sky.
The Who, featuring From Ashes to New.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Now, normally we would start the song right there. But Casey wants me to give it the old Kenny Knight intro here.
Yeah.
And he's pulled up a very special song. So I'm going to give this a try. Yeah. And I don't think I can hit the post, but I'm going to try this. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to
do it.
MMR style. And it's a special song that he shows. So here we go. 93.3 WMMR. It's everything that rocks. 17 minutes after 9 o'clock. 9:17 with the President and Steve Show. Going up to about 84 degrees today. We got music from Trickster for you. Give it to me good on MMR.
Hey, baby.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
You know what we should do is, since we are, it's No Sad Bro Friday, we should clean out the junk drawer.
Yeah!
Oh, too much stuff in there. So if you don't mind,
we need to.
Things that I got to go into. And...
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Yep. I could dig up here. Let's see. There was one I wanted to start with. Hold on one second. Oh, yeah. So Universal Orlando is opening today.
Yes.
To the public.
They were showing, for example, the Six Flags, some Six Flags facilities around the country doing likewise today.
Yeah, this is the first of Orlando's major theme resorts to reopen, and they're allowing annual pass holders in to its three parks starting today.
So it's
yesterday and today, I guess, is when they start.
One person per park, correct?
No.
Oh.
I don't know how many people per park. God, could you imagine?
As you can imagine.
There are temperature checks that will be taken.
In a place that's 111 degrees routinely.
I know. They will limit the number of people allowed in, and face masks are required. People also remind to keep their distance from others. SeaWorld is set to open next week, and Disney World plans to welcome back visitors next month.
Quick question. Are they going to do temperature checks on the aquatic animals at SeaWorld?
Are they going to do temperature checks on them? I don't know about that. No mention of that as of yet.
Right.
So, but to get into the park, you will need to have your temperature checked. Rectally.
Rectally, which is honestly, if you're going to be accurate about it, you should do it that way.
Yeah.
So some of the precautions and stuff, as you can imagine, they're separating the spacing on various coasters and things will be a little bit more staggered.
So you did Universal for the first time this past year, and
I loved
it. It's amazing, right?
I loved it.
Is Disney going to be next? You think you're going to go give that a whirl?
I think so. I think
you should.
And I think I can only benefit from the fact that I have been told that Disney is great, but that Universal is more my speed.
Yeah.
So I will probably go with lowered expectations, and I assume I'll enjoy it more because of that.
I think so, and because the thrill ride thing is completely different at Disney. There are some fun thrill rides, but they don't match.
Now, you haven't done the Star Wars thing.
I haven't done that.
Right.
So that could be a whole
game changer.
Yeah, I can't speak from that perspective. But what Disney does better than anybody is the magic of the whole Disney universe. It's you get caught up in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're there. You see Mickey Mouse, and you're you know, you're a full grown adult.
I'm going to shoot,
and you're gonna be really excited.
Absolutely.
To see that stuff.
Listen, I am 100% into the whole realm of the Disney stuff, the presentation, the you know, I love the Disney Channel and the Disney Plus stuff. It's all great. So I'm looking forward to it. Now, Casey, you're the only one who's done the Avatar.
Yeah. Right. Oh my God. Right. It's my favorite thing.
I heard it's amazing.
Did you do that, Kathy?
I didn't do Avatar. No, it was not there when I was there. So but I love Avatar, and I've heard that the ride is great. So I'm excited to do that. So hey, listen, they actually said that at 7:30 a.m. this morning that there was a traffic jam getting into the garage at Universal. It was expected to open at 9 a.m. and they're only allowing 35% of its normal capacity.
All right. So that's happening today, which is that's a good sign. All right. Let me see what else I got in here. A recent survey which polled 2,000 residents of Great Britain has determined that the mini skirt is the most iconic fashion statement of all time.
I was a fan of the mini skirt. I wear them occasionally, even now.
But the most iconic fashion statement of all time. I'm trying to think.
I like the beer can hat.
Oh, yeah. That's a statement.
Yeah, that is a statement.
So, Kath, I watched a show called, what is it called? Is it called Shrill on Hulu with A.D. Bryant? And they touch on something in that show that I never knew really existed. And it's like a rash that women get when they wear skirts because their thighs rub together too much. Is that anything that you're familiar with?
No, but I would imagine if their thighs are rubbing together, it's like chafing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like it. By the way, the miniskirt was followed up by the little black dress.
I do like the little black dress, too.
Hot pants.
These are all things in my wardrobe.
Denim jackets and platform shoes.
So these are all female, obviously, or otherwise.
Well, denim jackets. Right. No, it just says the most iconic fashion statement.
What would you say is the most iconic male or classically considered male?
Well, here, I'll finish. Yeah. I'll round these out, and then you guys tell me, because some of these would fall in that category.
All right, there we go.
Flared pants or bell bottoms. That's what that is. Leather biker jackets.
Yeah.
Shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Knee-high boots and skinny jeans. Rounded out the top 10.
I think I would agree with the mini skirt.
Okay. As the most iconic one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When was the last time you wore knee-high boots, Kathy?
I mean, I still have knee-high boots.
Do you have thigh-high boots?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Seriously?
Yeah.
Thigh-high boots.
Yeah, like they go, yes. They'll go past the knee. They don't go all the way up to like
those,
okay.
Those riding boots.
Maybe they'll go mid-thigh.
Okay. Wow, I don't think I've ever seen you wear that. For what occasion
not
would
really
you wear
those? Not really appropriate to wear to work.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. You know what? You look like a whore.
You're the right.
As we say in Norbert, a strumpet.
So on what occasion would I wear them? Actually, Preston, so I don't have a ton of mini skirts or like super short dresses, but that's what I would wear it with. I'm not a fan of my legs, so I like to cover them up. So when those boots came back in style, I was like, oh, okay, now I can get the shorter dresses and then I'll just cover my legs with the boots.
Yeah, that makes sense.
By the way, Casey, a lot of people are texting in the chafing thing you're talking about. It's called the chub rub.
Chub rub. And I think that's what they called it on the show.
Okay.
The chub rub.
All right. So I would say for guys in this, Steve, the most iconic fashion, I don't know, the biker jacket, the leather biker jacket.
I think...
It probably have to be like an accessory, right? Like a hat or, you know, a fedora or something like that?
Probably
or...
a monocle, I would assume. With
yes.
The,
I don't know.
Like Mr. Peanut.
Have you guys, I've never worn a jean
bridal
jacket.
Dress?
No, jean jacket. Have you guys ever?
Oh, my God. Yes, dude. When I was in junior high, you know, like around eighth grade, ninth grade, that range. The denim jacket was a statement about what group you hung out with. So it was the freaks we were known as, which were the partiers, mm-hmm. You know, the smoking cigarettes, smoking weed, stuff like that. So I had, I had a denim jacket. And what sucks about getting a denim jacket is when you get it and it's brand new.
You
and
are.
It's as bright blue as you could possibly get.
You look ridiculous.
Get. Yeah, you look dumb. It needs to wear. You got to wash it and
did
wear it
did you wash
out.
It like a lot?
No.
You
would because like a dork in it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. As I recollect, the denim jacket was one that you would use like a ballpoint pen on and you could write.
You could.
Yeah.
And yeah, you could write stuff on it if you wanted to. But I had a couple of denim jackets. Let's see. Other things in the top 30 were tube tops. at number 12. Oh, yeah. Tie-dye shirts at 14. Tie-dye's made a comeback.
Do you think there's anything that... Has there ever been a formal tube top? Like a tube top appropriate to wear to work?
Black tie tube top.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So,
black tie tube top. That's a band name.
Yes. Black tie tube top.
I love it.
I mean, kind of. Yeah, there were like prom dresses that people were wearing that were separates. Where, and it was, I mean, essentially a tube top.
Okay. Flapper dresses are on here.
From the 20s?
Yep. These are iconic.
How long did the poodle skirt last?
I don't know. It was in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Cowboy boots. Okay.
That was, so there was
That's more of an accessory, like Nick was saying, though.
Yeah.
But,
wait, can we go back to the tube top for a second? So I had a tube top that doubled as a belt. So, like, you could turn it into, it was like, you could wear it around, it was like a thicker belt that you could wear around your waist. You could wear it as a tube top, and then some pulled down and made it as a very tight mini skirt.
Oh, wow.
That's how it was, I mean, that's how it was marketed.
Was that when we were looking for free drinks at the,
Yeah.
Looking for, that's when I got the free drinks, wherever I went.
Are there photos of this outfit, Kat?
Oh, God, this was probably late high school, maybe into early college, I think.
Kath, did you ever make it out to Maui when you were, you had to have been like freshly 21.
No, that was not probably when I had my fake ID. We were not going to Maui. We were, because my girlfriend lived in the city, so she would take me to these like clubs. I think the one was called 111. Does anybody remember that?
111, no.
I think that's what it was called.
Okay.
But no, Case, I didn't go to Maui.
Casey, on this list also is tracksuits.
Hey! All right!
That was a staple of your wardrobe, as you remember. Zip, 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 zip.
No. Yep. Well, I mean, the Adidas pants and stuff like that, that's the that's essentially a tracksuit. But I only have one matching. I got
one
matching,
formal suit.
One formal track orange tracksuit.
And high-waisted jeans.
Oh, my God, I hate those so much.
Yeah, mom jeans?
Yeah. Well, no, they've come back. The high-waisted jeans have come back.
I guess it was the 80s? Because I was watching Teen Wolf 2.
Yeah.
That was actually, it was more form-fitting and a higher-waisted.
Yep.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah. It was tight on the waist. Yeah. And you would see the women's hips. Yeah. But,
I don't think it's a good look for even like women with really nice
Bruce Valanche.
Like no, but like women with nice frames, it makes them look like they have a fupa. You know.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know exactly. It's what I always kind of thought of as well. But anyway, Britons have in this particular study have revealed that those are the top. Iconic.
Mark
looks.
Did bring up a good point.
All right, I'll go to him. Hi, Mark. You're on. Good morning.
Hey, good morning out there. Good morning, Philadelphia. Thanks for taking my call. I'm enjoying this show. Incredible this morning, man. You guys, you really help you know people through the day. So,
oh, thanks, buddy.
I appreciate the laughter, man. And you guys are, like I said, very professional.
Appreciate it.
I did want to ask a question because I was curious. The bikini, it blows my mind. I would have thought it was number one. Is that even up in the top 30 at all?
No, and that is...
That's a... Right?
That's a really good point to
I think
made.
He's right. That's probably the most iconic.
And it says fashion statement, so I don't know if it's leaving swimwear out of this.
Yeah, I think that's a whole different category.
Oh, all right. Mm. But it's still... Right.
But that's a good point, Mark. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day, Phil.
You too. We'll see you. All right. Let me see. Let me find something else in the junk drawer. We're going to have to move along in a moment. Let's go with this. Austrian authorities have unveiled a design for turning the house where Adolf Hitler was born into a police station while trying to make it unattractive as a pilgrimage site for people who glorify the Nazi dictator.
Uh-huh.
Why even have it? Why not just tear it down?
That's what I was thinking, too. Designed by Austrian architects Marte. They beat out 11 competitors in an interior ministry tender, official said. The refurbishment is expected to be completed around the end of 2022, and it's going to cost like $8 million. The yellow corner house in the northern Austrian town of Braunau.
It's the house they used in the beginning of Growing Pains, Preston.
Oh, is that?
When the Seavers are standing outside. That's Hitler's house.
Beautiful house, man, with the wraparound porch.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Braunau am Inn is the name of the place, I think. Anyway, he was born on April 20th, 420, 1889. Was taken into government control in 2016. In 2017, their highest court ruled that the government could expropriate the building after its owner refused to sell it. Suggestion it be might be demolished was shelved. Why? And the government announced in November that police would use the building and it will house a regional command and a police station. I don't know why they wouldn't tear that down.
I think if you're not going to bulldoze it down, what you do is make it a museum, a Holocaust museum or something like that.
Yeah.
Or something that, but I mean.
But that might invite people to come by and
F it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vandalize it.
Listen, like, people were making pilgrimages to the John Wayne Gacy house for years, you know, and they bulldozed it.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, there's morbid curiosity attached to it, you know, and it's interesting. It's difficult to even talk about Hitler.
Right.
And I'm going to choose my words carefully, but he is a historical figure.
He's a heck of a guy.
Nope.
Hey, Hitler, heck of a guy.
No positives here.
Yeah.
But if you want to study World War II and you want to study the history of you know, fascism rising in Europe, you want to include Hitler in those studies.
Exactly.
I get that part of it for sure. But, you know, I think it's also you could tear it down and we'll be okay with that particular sure. part of history being gone.
Hey, we have a guy named Adolf on the line. He wants to hear something.
Trickster.
The blowfish. Could you play that for me, Kenny?
By the way, speaking.
By the way, do you have a dollar bill on your serial number? Can you read it out to me there?
Speaking of Adolf, let's see. There's a story that I saw, a diary that was in the possession of a secret society for decades after the end of World War II may contain a map detailing the location of more than 30 tons of gold that was hidden by the Nazis. This has been lore
forever.
For a long time.
In fact, there is a new series on the, it's got to be history. They have all those, the one where they're on the one island and they're looking for treasure. And, but this is the new one, Preston. They're searching for this legendary rumored stash of stolen gold.
So this was, this diary they found was written 75 years ago by, Waffenschutzstaffel.
Yeah.
An SS officer using a pseudonym Michaelis. This journal outlined Nazi commander Himmler's plans to hide stolen European riches, artifacts, and priceless works of art. The diary listed 11 sites where Nazis concealed looted gold, jewels, priceless paintings, and religious objects. One location that it names is an abandoned well that extends nearly 200 feet underground beneath the 16th century Hochbog Palace in the village of Rostoka in southwestern Poland. The gold at the bottom of the well is thought to have come from the Reichsbank in the Polish town of Breslau and is estimated to be worth billions of euros.
So it's amazing. I'm fascinated by the it's again a blight, a horror of inexplicable level. However, there is so much that's fascinating attached to it.
Oh my gosh.
And his
delve into the occult and secret societies where they had meetings and stuff like that. It's a fascination as to you want to get into the mind of these psychos and see what they were doing.
And
you know
how,
what I mean?
How far they were ready to go. Like, that's why you look at the like even Captain America and Stan Lee. They flirted with the stuff that they knew was going on and found out had been going on. So obviously that's fanciful science fiction on a level, right. But the amount of subterranean tunnels, caves, underground oil refineries, the stuff that they are still finding in mountain ranges in and throughout Europe is just astonishing.
Yep. So suppose you just come across this as a traveler or whatever. Do you own it? Or does it belong to somebody?
I think because it was stolen. There has to be some sort of overriding
right of ownership. Probably do what they could to track down, I would think.
Or just don't tell anybody. Where'd you get that $200 billion worth of gold?
Take it to a pawn shop.
I found it.
Let me go to Chris, whose family lives in Austria. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hey there, Preston. My family lives in Austria, and my dad actually went to school, the same school as Adolf Hitler, and had the same teachers as Hitler. But
wow.
The reason they're not tearing down the building is they have laws over there that once you build a building, you can never tear it down. And that house is historical because it was built in probably the 1700s or 1800s.
All right. So it has a history prior to Hitler.
Once you build a building, you can't tear it down. I would imagine there are some exceptions, though, with, you know, like if it's
structural.
If it's in disarray or no.
Oh, no. No. After World War II, the buildings that were bombed out, they rebuilt them exactly how they were before the war. My uncle actually he oversaw these constructions over there. He was a big shot, and he used to oversee all this type of work there.
Huh.
And the building he used to be in was in the city of Linz, and it was historical. It was built in the 1600s, and that was his government building. And the exterior of the building looked just like it was built when back in the 1650s. The interior was original. And they actually have, you know, they put the electrical cables underground to hide that. And then there was a project he told us about 20 years ago they were doing. They wanted to improve the highway, and they tear it up. And here they find Roman highways from, you know, 400 A.D. So they can't build the highway there because there's Roman roads there.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it is fascinating because you do realize, and she's right, there's... we think in terms of our relatively young country, yeah. And over there, it's
it's centuries.
We're going back to Roman highways. Yeah.
All right, Chris, thanks for the heads up. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks.
I went to Austria when I was like 18 years old. It is gorgeous there. I would love to make it back.
I'd love
there
to
someday.
See it. Yeah.
All right, and maybe you'll find Hitler's gold. Who knows? But they found a diary that might shed some light on that.
I met a boy today.
That's in the diary. one last story, and then we will wrap this up. Let's see. What do I want to stay with? How about this? And we'll go to Europe. We'll stay in Europe, I should say. As bars across Europe gradually reopen, up to 1 million free or prepaid beers are waiting to lure back wary customers. Beer makers from global giant Anheuser-Busch InBev to smaller craft breweries have set up some campaigns for consumers to buy drinks in advance to support shuttered bars with, in some cases, the reward of free beer when the doors reopen.
That's a great idea. You sort of pre-purchase. It's almost like a meal plan at school. It's a beer plan.
Yeah, and then you get some free because you're doing that. So AB InBev launched its first campaign, Cafe Courage, in Belgium, and has since sold over 200,000 Stella Artois, Jupiler, and other brands. It also started similar schemes in 20 other markets across Europe, from Brazil to Hong Kong, raising over $6 million for pubs, bars, and restaurants.
Mm.
World's number two, Heineken, put the number of drinks sold through its various voucher promos at 270,000. And now the bars are opening. Consumers have had their first chance to redeem coupons for the vouchers. And the idea was to lure drinkers back with free drinks and hope that they would then buy more while they are there. So they're kind of getting back into the swing of things, and it's a pretty good idea to have that ready to go.
Yeah, everybody's fighting at the bit.
Those are just a few things from the junk drawer I thought I'd share this morning. Today, by the way, I don't have any free beer, but we do have free donuts because today is National Donut Day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give away a $50 gift card. This is the last one I have from our friends at Dunkin', and we'll take caller number... let's do call number 8 at 215-263-WMMR. And don't forget that when you stop by a local Dunkin', there is a free donut with any beverage purchase waiting for you. You can use the Dunkin' app, by the way, for contactless way to order and pay. And you can pick up in-store or get it at the drive-thru. Participation may vary. Limited time offer while supplies last. Press this. Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Call number 8, 215-263-WMMR. We'll take care of you. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Monday nights at 9, join MMR's Jackie Bam Bam for a kick-ass concert clip. A live performance. Metallica moment. In conjunction, Metallica is releasing an entire concert recording available for your streaming pleasure right here at WMMR.com. Rock's reigning kings with MMR's nighttime jester, Jackie Bam Bam. Every Monday night at 9.
Hey.
So when dinner's done, break from the TV and rock your smart speaker. It's Metallica Mondays with 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Mind if I do a text chart here, Steve?
Sure.
It says, hey, Preston, today is my father's 64th birthday. Ordered him an Omaha Steaks box. Because he loves to smoke and barbecue things. I really appreciate you guys. If you can give him a shout out, his name is Henry. He's a good dad, and I love him. And that's from Kyle. So here you go. I just thought of text charts.
Hey, if he likes the Omaha Steaks, how about a Sleep Number bed and mulch from Mulch?
You could do that too. Text charts. What if you could text just that sound effects to somebody, and then they open it and it just it does the.
Actually, it'd be great. Yeah.
Text shirt.
Just yeah.
I did that to Kathy during a meeting once. Kathy, you remember that?
Yes.
It was.
She opened a file.
She opened it.
Oh.
And she was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe I just did that."
I knew, but I was like, "Well, I'll just open it." And, yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure enough.
And that's what it was. And then he lost it.
All right. It's time for the bizarre file, so we're not going to hold up any longer.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
I'm hyper sensitive as to how I'm speaking now.
Oh, after your air check?
After we played my old air checks, and I feel like I feel like everything I'm saying is puking. So,
really?
No.
Listen, I'm feeling good, and I hope you are too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Man, do I feel the need to eat pizza. Hey, this is turkey bacon, because this is brought to you by Godshall's. All the bacon taste, 80% less fat, the hometown favorite. Godshall's real wood-smoked turkey bacon, from their family of owners to yours.
Those are the best-tasting little morsels I have ever had in my life.
And available at Acme, ShopRite, Wegmans, Renters, Walmart, and Sam's Club. All right, so three men reportedly tunneled their way into a liquor store in South Africa and made off with thousands of dollars worth of booze. I mean, they went to a lot of effort to do this. To add insult to injury, the robbery happened as the strict lockdown rules were about to be lifted, allowing the store to reopen for business. A trio of robbers entered the store by accessing electrical and stormwater drain tunnels underneath it and then cut through the store's concrete floor. They reportedly stole about $18,000 worth of liquor, including expensive imported brands. In the country, liquor has been showing up on black markets as the lockdown has resulted in a ban on alcohol sales. Wow. Yeah, they took a different approach than the U.S. did, where it's like, you can now get booze easier.
Right.
Being trapped in a windowless basement room might be enough to make anyone panic, but Peggy Pillett Roth never did, because she knew that she would be saved by her toddler next door. Ayaz Tran is his name. He's 3 years old. Was out for a walk with his mother, Min Tran, when he noticed three newspapers stacked on Roth's steps. The quick-thinking toddler prompted him to ring the doorbell. And when she didn't answer, his mom called police. She was apparently trapped in a room for 4 days.
Wow.
So I guess she's elderly. I don't have too many details in this story. But the kid is now receiving an award for his quick thinking.
So the kid was three and noticed?
Yeah, that the papers were piled up.
What a bizarre thing for a kid to notice.
Extremely observant for a three-year-old.
This is kind of strange.
Yes.
These periodicals are piling up, and the mail seems from a few days ago. Plus, I'm looking at the lights. They're still on, and it's broad daylight. Let me dust her fingerprints here on the doorknob. I'm noticing a foot pattern leading up to her and some bramble and broken twigs.
Look for blood splattering and luminol.
Fortunately, I have an infrared light. Let me hold it over here. All right, I have some heat-sensitive goggles. Let me see. No. I think I better call the police here.
What a smart kid.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm just like every other three-year-old kid.
Yep. Video meetings are a fairly new experience for a lot of people, but a Mexican senator has demonstrated the importance of knowing when your camera is on. Martha Mitcher was caught topless on camera during a government video meeting last week. Ooh. After she started changing.
I just want to say this is the best goddamn meeting I've ever been on.
Without realizing her camera was on. She has now issued an apology for her action, blaming it on her lack of knowledge.
With all this going on, how many exhibitionists are taking advantage of that and pretending they didn't know what's
right.
going on?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you see my balls?
The meeting was attended by at least 15 senators from the left-wing National Regeneration Movement political party, who convened with the governor of the Bank of Mexico and press representative. Screenshots of Mike topless were circulated online, but it's unclear who leaked them at this point. Here's another trap story. Police in Harris County, Texas, rescued a woman from a manhole on Tuesday. She had been trapped in there for several days.
We're going to have to put together some sort of levee system to bring her up. I have experience with this. Would you like me to handle all of this?
They have no idea how she fell into the hole or why she was even in the vicinity of the area.
Do you remember we used to hear constantly about stories like this?
Yeah, yeah. So it's a newly constructed neighborhood. No injuries were reported in the incident, so they're trying to figure it out.
Oh, man.
What? Too late? You had a sound effect?
I did.
Go ahead.
I've always wanted to go in a manhole.
That'll work. All right. One more story, and then we're going to wrap it up. Six-year-old Knox Brewer took up magnet fishing a few weeks ago after watching a video on YouTube. I'm kind of fascinated by magnet
fishing. I am as well.
But,
you know, from years of boating and other stuff like that, you put an anchor down.
Yeah.
And you pull it up and you
got something.
Sometimes you get some cool stuff or just weird things.
Yeah. So his parents, Jonathan and Catherine, hoped that it would be a healthy hobby. Mrs. Brewer said, we got it to help pass the time during the virus. He learned about which rocks are magnetic and which aren't. During an outing, he discovered something big sitting at the bottom of Whitney Lake. It was heavy, stuck in the mud below.
It's a mine!
No, but with the help of a nearby stranger, they fished out a locked metal safe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And when they pried it open, they found several items, including jewelry, credit cards, and a checkbook. And as it turned out, the safe belonged to a neighbor, a woman they tracked down just across the street. And she said the safe was stolen from her home 8 years ago and had been a mystery ever since.
That's wild.
They found it in the lake because he was magnet fishing. Pretty cool. All the expensive stuff was gone. But at least the woman was able to get some closure and some of her pieces back. And it was a rewarding experience for the kid. So magnet fishing sometimes turns this stuff up. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you as of now. We're going to take a break. Don't forget that we do have our Word of the Week prize to give away this morning from What a Crock Meals. So that is on shortly, Letter of the Day, when we get with Pierre in a little while. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
And also reminding Great Valley High School in Malvern, you need to let us know who you thought the coolest teacher of the last year has been. It's real easy. Just text word teacher to 39333. All right. And we'll find out on Monday. You get a couple extra days to place that vote. But Mr. Brendan Towell from St. Augustine was our winner today. He gets the coolest teacher of their coffee mug, and it was really nice to talk to him. Let's do today's lesson question. And we're going to give away a $50 Dunkin' gift card. By the way, it is a National Donut Day. You can get a free donut with a beverage purchase at Dunkin' today. The question that I'm going to go with, you know what? We'll go with a donut question.
All right, we should.
How would the pukey radio announcer describe a donut? 215-263-WMMR. Steve said it was very quick. And how would the pukey radio announcer describe a donut? If you heard it earlier, you should call in and you'll win a $50 donut gift card from Dunkin'. 215-263-WMMR. We shall do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's get some stories before we get our answers. Steve, what's going on this morning?
Well, Alicia Silverstone revealing she routinely takes baths with her 9-year-old son, Bear. Silverstone says it's a beautiful and maternal way to make sure her son will never run out of things to tell his parole officer.
Oh, my God.
Sheriff Chad Cronister announcing an investigation, this is interesting, has determined that the will of Tiger King nemesis Carol Baskin's banished husband is a forgery. Cronister says they were able to fully locate missing parts of the document once the tiger crapped it out.
Oh, my God.
Gabrielle Union has filed a harassment complaint saying that she was the object of misogynistic and racist abuse from producers on America's Got Talent. In her complaint, Union adds, quote, and you know what? America doesn't have talent. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we are looking for an answer to this question. What is the pukey radio announcer? How does the pukey radio announcer describe a donut? 215-263-WMMR. I will see if Liam knows the answer or not. Hey, Liam, how you doing, man?
Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, buddy. Hey, so how does the pukey radio announcer describe a donut?
if they beat the cake with a hole in the middle of it, you would love it.
Yep, you'll love it. You got it right, Liam. Hang on. We have a $50 Dunkin' gift card. And this Friday, today, actually, National Donut Day. And Dunkin' is giving away a free donut with any beverage purchase. You can use the Dunkin' app for a contactless way to order and pay. You pick it up in store or get it at a drive-thru. Participation may vary, limited time offer. And that is, of course, while supplies last. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
It's brought to you by HERS, the official chip of taking your summer to the next level. When it comes to snacking this summer, keep it Philly, and make it HERS. HERS forever good.
They replenish, I should say, our HERS stock here. Yeah. It's been a long time coming, but it was glorious.
Hey, Tool has officially canceled its 2020 North American tour after initially postponing the trek due to the pandemic. It called the jaunt off so the fans could get their money back in what has become an intensely challenging economic climate. The band issued a statement in which part said, when we played what would be our final show of 2020, March 11th at Portland's Moda Center, we believed that we would be back on the road sometime this fall. As we worked toward that goal, we've come to realize there is absolutely no certainty in rescheduling dates for this fall or 2021. The statement said, at the same time that we were working to reschedule this tour, we read your messages of job losses, illness, emotional and financial pain. We can continue to postpone or reschedule dates for some time into 2021, but ethically, we do not think that this is the right course of action. In our opinion, tying up our fans' money for months, if not a full year, is unfair.
So that's initially why a number of the artists jumped on canceling their tours at the beginning of the coronavirus, as it was unsure how, you know, what the financial situation was going to be for people, and with ticket prices, yeah, $100, $125, $150, even above.
Yeah,
they figured it's better to put that money back in those pockets.
Yep, and that's what they're doing. Stone Sour singer Corey Taylor has revealed in an interview that there are no plans for the band to work on new music anytime soon. Stone Sour's last album was 2017's Hyder Grade. Taylor said that Stone Sour is kind of on the back burner right now. He said we all kind of felt like we did exactly what we wanted to on Hyder Grade, and we are just giving it a minute. Or is it Hyder Grad? Sorry. I think Stone Sour, he said, is kind of on hiatus right now, which is fine. If someday we want to get back together and do some stuff, it'll be bigger than it was. But for right now, we're all kind of focused on kind of doing our own thing. So that's on hold.
You sound insane.
I'd like to hear this. Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker and rapper Machine Gun Kelly have hit the studio to record a cover of Rage Against the Machine's 28-year-old protest song, Killing in the Name. The track has been accompanied by a video. It features footage shot at this past week's Los Angeles protest over the murder of George Floyd, where both artists can be seen marching in the parade. Kelly wrote, they wrote this song in 1992. It's been 28 years since, and every word still applies. The clip ends with a solitary message and systemic racism. Kelly called upon Barker on Wednesday to come to his studio and record the song. One day later, the track and the video appeared. The original version surfaced on Rage Against the Machine's, of course, self-titled debut in 1992. Kelly and Barker have previously teamed up with Youngblood on the 2019 single, I Think I'm Okay. Youngblood makes a cameo in the protest footage from the Killing in the Name video as well. A pair of end tables built by James Hetfield of Metallica will be going out to one winner via a charity raffle for the band's All Within My Hands Foundation. The tables will be personalized and signed by Hetfield himself. Every $10 donation will equal one entry, and all proceeds benefit the foundation and its work supporting the technical education programs funded by the Metallica Scholars Initiative. Hmm. The contest is open until June 30th, and you can visit this really long website that I'm not going to go through.
I love Metallica's song End Tables. It's great.
Oh, yeah. End Tables.
It's actually, they think it's a nod to their collaboration with Lou Reed on Lulu. The album's first single called The View featured Hetfield's curious lyrical assertion, I am the table.
which apparently became a meme of some type.
They're actually fine little tables. There's a picture up in the studio.
They look pretty boring to me.
They're the kind of tables that would hold things, I guess, if you wanted to place an object or item on them.
Yeah, if one were to do so.
If you had, for example, of the things that you would... that were annoying you because they were on the floor.
Right.
You could put them on these tables.
Oh, hey, what if you were like, I don't know, like drinking a cup of coffee?
You could put that cup of coffee down on the table so you wouldn't have to reach down to the floor to pick it up.
Okay.
Like, and maybe, I think, right, Steve, Nick? What about your feet? Like if you're tired of having them on the floor and you're sitting on a couch?
I see no reason why you couldn't put your feet on these tables.
All right.
I'm going to start putting my coffee on the floor.
Yeah.
Just to do that.
Badass.
Don't mess with this guy. He's a floor coffee drinker.
A statement posted on the band's social media channels read, during shelter in place, Metallica's own James Hetfield has used some of his time at home to hone a new creative outlet. He has designed and built a set of handmade end tables.
Put together a wardrobe for me?
With all the welding and woodwork happening in his own garage, we are raffling them off, and one lucky winner will receive the set signed and personalized by James. If you're a fan, maybe that means something to you. Don't know. And then finally, out now is a book called Last 4 Years, A Rock Noir Romance. It's the memoirs of Keith Moon's fiancée, a woman named Annette Walter Lax, who chronicles her time with The Who's Madman drummer. In a new interview, Lax revealed that Keith Moon's primary motive for moving to California in 1974 was to break into the film industry. She said he was into acting. This was part of him wanting to go to Los Angeles from the beginning and wanting to pursue an acting career. And he was trying hard to get involved with that, get involved with people, producers, directors, and so forth, and, of course, staying sober. So it didn't work out very well for him because he showed up drunk to auditions with saying Sam Peckinpah, for instance. Well, that was unfortunate that he had that problem, but his passion was to become an actor.
Steve, suppose you were reading this book and you got a little bit tired and you wanted to stop reading for a second.
Yeah, and you were thinking, where do I put it?
Right.
Yeah, and especially saying it's a day where your back is a little, you know, sore.
Yeah.
A table would do it right.
I thought so.
A small table, perhaps like an end table.
Yeah.
Not a full table, a table that you could stick at the end of something.
Right.
Perhaps even a larger table.
Lax, like so many who found their lives intertwined with Moon, only now can probably understand the kind of mental illness he was battling. She said, I take that back, Cass.
A nightstand.
Yeah, a nightstand? Okay.
She said, I think he had a borderline issue, and that includes bipolar, and I think that he also had multiple personality disorder.
Oh, he thought he didn't like the song Borderline.
She said, God knows what was going on inside of him. Some people can handle being a star. Most people can do that. He couldn't do that. And whether he wasn't mature enough or whether it was his issues, it probably was a combination of all of it.
People who he was friends with adored him. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, and just said he was a quirky, like Ringo was a huge friend of his.
Yeah.
And just said the greatest things, but he was on that inevitable spiral.
She also recalled Keith's state of mind when he was summoned back to the UK to work on his final album with The Who, 1978's Who Are You. She said he took masses of cocaine and was drinking, of course. And I was worried. At the same time, I felt sad for The Who as well. He was in a very bad form. Keith was bloated and tired, so he burned out, man.
You know, there's a great scene in that, and I think I mentioned it before. I love it. In The Kids Are All Right, the documentary, where Keith Moon and Ringo are sitting there, and they're blasted. But they're talking about Roger Daltrey
spinning the
thing, and Keith mic. Moon says, it's actually rather wonderful because when people throw fruit and vegetables, I get her salad at the junket.
Yeah. All right, and that's all I have for you in music news this morning. Hopefully, it was enlightening to you. We're going to take a break, our last one. When we return, we give away a Word of the Week prize, so hang in there for that. It is coming up next.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Oh, my God. It's we were off for vacation last week. Doesn't feel like it. It feels like a regular work week to me, and I cannot wait to have a couple of days off. Oh, my goodness. Wow. All right. Well, anyway.
You know, there's still people without power, you know.
My parents.
Oh, still. Yeah, yeah, right, there you
yeah
go,
my man. Dad spent last night here again. And,
is he still rummaging around the house right now?
No, he actually had a dentist appointment in the city. His dentist office reopened, which is good news. He left to go to the city. But, yeah, he went home yesterday. They kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And then it turns out that the power wasn't coming back on yesterday. So he came back here last night. My mom is still a little skittish about going out and spending time in other people's houses, which I understand. So she stayed home. But they, Pico told my mom this morning that they're looking to restore power on the 7th, on Sunday now. So they might have to wait all weekend.
Yeah. Nick, what'd they do with everything in the fridge?
They are, my mom's bringing that over here later today. So we have a, we bought a freezer before the pandemic even started. We have a freezer in the basement, so she's going to bring a whole bunch of stuff and put it down there. But yeah, I just, I feel bad for them. You know, they're, they're kind of stuck, and I don't know, but if hotels are even an option at this point, I don't know what they can do other than maybe stay with us.
Yeah, it's all the extra. Problem here is your dad is a kind of a celebrity on Twitch. He has a video gaming channel. And he can't do any of that.
He was living it up yesterday, though. He got so many messages from us having him on the show, and he, it, you know, in a weird way, it ended up being a great birthday for him. So that was fun yesterday. It was cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
We talked about losing power yesterday, and I said how you know, I actually have never lost power in my house, and I thought it was because the power lines were underground. But, and again, I don't know if this is true either, but somebody heard me say that yesterday, and they said it's because of where I'm located on the grid.
Okay.
And
possibly.
That makes a difference.
You're a grid chick.
Is there any validity? I've heard that if you live near a train line, like if you live near a SEPTA line, Pico does works really hard to make sure that power does not go out along SEPTA routes.
Not true, Pierre says.
Not true? Okay.
Not true. If you live anywhere near me, you're effed.
Is your train near you?
Can I come over, Nick?
Actually, I was going to send my parents to your house, Pierre. So.
Well, they're going to be cold then. Oh. Well, they'll be hot.
Is your power out still?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But I checked yesterday, and the good news is it's coming back Sunday night at 11 o'clock.
Wow.
Pierre, we had it. We had an initial, so our power went on, and that big initial storm that was midday, and we all saw it out the window here, and then it came back at 8. They were predicting that it would come back at midnight. It came back actually earlier that day, and then it's blowing my mind that they're still extending it. That's how significant that tree damage was.
May I ask what you did to pass the time in an empty, dark house? Or did you go somewhere else?
No, I just stayed there and...
Did you read or
candlelight?
Dearest diary...
I have, I don't have a laptop, but I have an iPad.
Yeah.
So I tried to get some cable. I have CNN on that. So I tried to get CNN, but it kept going away. Or then it would repeat what it had already done.
Were you tethering your iPad to your phone? Because if your power's out, you're not getting Wi-Fi at the house.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, but then you're going to run out of power on that eventually. You've got to charge it up.
You take it out to your car and stick it in your USB port.
Yeah. I did use the car for. I have three devices. I have the iPad, which I hardly ever use, the iPhone, and I was using the car to charge that, and then I was charging it here at work, and then I brought the iPad in to charge, but that was taking forever to charge. Then I have a little charger that you have to charge, but that'll charge.
Right. Okay.
So,
how do you charge your car?
Well, it's not being charged. Thomas is craving juice. Tommy needs juice.
Tommy want wingy?
Maybe he can go on your juice plan, Casey.
Tommy want wingy.
Good.
So you're going to need to find a place to juice that up soon.
Yeah, well, there are superchargers.
Right here in the parking lot.
There are places all
there's
over.
There's one here?
Yeah. Are there in the back? Are there
there's a whole
in the back.
Yeah.
I haven't been around the back in years.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't get to because they're always changing the points of every action.
Okay.
It's a confusing time. Let's face it.
Yeah.
It's been a hell of a year.
Well.
But there you go.
Well, we should get the letter if you're ready.
But the cold shower this morning was the best of all.
Oh, I'll bet.
Oh, man. Now, I just felt like camping.
I'm loving life.
I am loving life. Jackie gave me these candles for Christmas. He gave me this kind of candelabra set. It looks kind of like deer horns or something. It's really cool. It's silver. And I have little tea lights in it. So I just sat there looking at them last night going...
Like a hippie Liberace.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The only thing missing was a piano. And I just kept going...
I'd love to see like kids coming to your house, you know, and then you come to the door with your candelabra.
Here I am, kids. All right. Where were we going?
Letter of the day.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
L as in liberate.
All right, let's take caller 6 at 215-263-WMMR. Caller number 6. Let's see if you know the word. And then we got a prize on this end for you. So get on it. Call right now. What's up on today's program?
First of all, I love, Steve, your commercial for these... Uncertain times. And a comedian, Jim Gaffigan, also did use the word unprecedented in
right.
a bit. So I think if I can fit it in at some point today, I'm going to use your thing, which was brilliant, and his thing about unprecedented, because they're two words that I'm really sick of.
Exactly. Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
But moving on from that, we'll have a workforce block of Bruce Springsteen. We got U2. We've got Hailstorm. And school is out, you know, for the most part, or graduations and that sort of thing. So I try to do some kind of school block every year, but with graduations being even more challenging for so many levels of graduates this year, we'll do a school block, a block of school teacher songs, and see where we go with that.
Would it have had as much impact if the song was Zooms Out for Summer? Because that's how, you know, I mean, all of the schooling has been on Zoom, right, for the past couple of months?
Well, I think it was originally called that, actually.
Exactly.
But
how prescient.
Yeah, well, Alice was ahead of his time, very ahead of his time. So there you go.
I like it.
Right. Let's see if we can get our winner, and we're going to the phones, and it's caller number six who we're looking for. It's Jeff. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Good morning.
Jeff, what's our word of the week, please?
Shell.
What was that, Jeff?
Shell.
S-H-E-L-L.
Gadzooks!
Yeah. And that's correct, Jeff. I want you to hang on because we're going to feed you for a while, my man. We are going to give you a $300 WhatACrockMeals.com gift card. And WhatACrock offers ready-made slow cooker meals, and now they are making grilling just as easy with their new grill pack option. And you can choose from delicacies like brisket short rib burgers, jalapeno cheddar grills, wow, the bacon wrapped scallops as well, and it's a home-cooked slow cooker meal or barbecue. WhatACrock has you covered, and WhatACrockMeals.com for all information. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin', and today is National Donut Day. Yay. Dunkin' is giving away a free donut with any beverage purchase. Use the Dunkin' app for a contactless way to order and pay. Pick up in-store, or you can get it at the drive-thru. Participation may vary. Limited time offer while supplies last. Thank you also to HERS, the official chip of making the most of your summer. And brought to you by Godshaw's Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon. Next week on the program, our buddy Jim Florentine will be joining us, and we'll get into other stuff, I would imagine. So that's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great weekend. No sad, bro.
No.
It's Friday.
Yeah!
And please be safe. We'll see you soon.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
So with all these power outages, just a friendly reminder that all these stoplights turn into stop signs. Stop going through them without stopping.
Next message.
This is DJ Kenny Knight with Rock 102.222. I'm really looking forward to hearing myself on the radio. I f***ed that up. But hey, I'm a rookie.
Next message.
Well, since this whole coronavirus thing started, I've been stuck in the house with my wife, and I've realized one definite thing. She's hot. But what a f***ing bitch.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.